The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hang on. Don't. There we go. Thank you.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's...
We haven't got time for that. Let's go to Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Oh, hello, Ian.
Yes.
I phoned because I want to buy your book.
Oh.
And also, could you... I don't know if you can put my name in the book.
Nope. Here's the thing. The book, which, by the way, yay close to £2,000. I think we need another 10, and we've got 20. We've got for £2,000. I don't have any copies of the book. You have to buy it from lulu.com, and we are unable to sign them because every single book, so here's the thing, the late night alternative transcripts.
Right.
Every single book is printed especially for you when you order it. There's no warehouse, there's none of that.
No.
But if you see me or Catherine in the street, or if you come to one of our live events, we will happily sign for you.
Oh, good. On another thing, Ian, you know the Euro, it's on again tomorrow. No one has won that money, 167 million.
The what?
The Euro millions.
What? Oh, right. Well, the lot...
it's run for 18... I think it's the longest time it's run.
Well, I remember it starting. Noel Edmonds did the first one, didn't he?
I can't remember. I don't know.
That was like 24 years ago, I think.
But I think it's 167 million tomorrow.
People watch it.
Yeah, and you can... I've done a few tickets because...
It's the idiot tax.
I've done one for my daughter.
It's the idiot tax.
I know, but...
You're just giving money to millionaires. here's the thing. I'd hate to break it to you, Susan. You're not going to win it.
Well, I've seen two black cats. I love
racist.
Cats, but black ones.
Send them back. Where are the white cats?
Yeah, I know. They're all lovely, but I've got a passion for... I love all animals.
Passion for fashion.
I was working last week, it was
a cattery.
And this beautiful black cat, honestly, was beautiful. And then when we were walking back from work, I heard some rustling of leaves on somebody's wall.
Yes.
And there was this other black cat there.
Well, does the second black cat cancel out the first black cat? Have you negated
the same one?
Is your luck back to zero now?
No, I do. I love black cats. I don't think they're. I know they're not unlucky. It's like the 13th. You know, Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Everyone was saying at work, "Oh, it's a, don't do this, don't do that."
Don't do that. Don't do well, a radio
we're in,
show.
We're in a syndicate anyway, and we, I mean, we didn't win much, but we won about £2.90, and I got another ticket.
Between how
and
many?
And we won again.
Between how many? How much was the £2.90 shared between?
Oh, it was loads. I mean, I just got another. I just had enough money to buy another ticket. It was 40p left, so I put it in the pot.
Oh,
but
okay.
I just wondered if somebody like picked random numbers.
Yes.
And wouldn't it be a great idea?
Right.
If there was lots of people that won.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a lottery on the show here. With absolutely nothing
you've
to be won.
You've got five numbers for the Euro and two lucky stars, which goes
right,
up so 1 to 12.
And what do the five numbers have to be in between?
1 and 50.
Okay.
And the two little odd numbers, the lucky stars, are between 1 and 12.
Yep. Okay. What I've done, right.
Right.
So I've got, I am, what do they call the balls machine? Derek or something, isn't it? Dingle. Dingleberry. I am Dingleberry. I am Dingleberry from Camelot. And I have chosen this week's winning $180 million dollar lottery prize, okay?
Right.
And you've entered. You have got to, and we'll do this all night, unless you win straight away. You tell me the five numbers and my two lucky balls, and if you got it right, you win $180 million.
So I'll give you the numbers, yeah?
You give me the numbers, and if they match up with the numbers that I have chosen, you win $180 million.
Right, let's think. Nine.
Okay, you're saying nine. Okay, carry on.
Nine. Seven.
Okay, you're saying seven, yep.
13.
Mm-hmm.
43.
Mm-hmm.
47.
Okay, so those are your five numbers. Now, what are my two lucky balls?
Oh,
apart from cute.
I don't know. Two.
Mm-hmm.
And three.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You got one number.
Oh.
One number.
If I had two, I could get another ticket. I could get a free ticket.
Oh, and luckily, you only got one. You know, if you got all of them, you'd have won $180 million. So, do you know what I mean?
There's no point arguing with Dingleberry.
Exactly, Dingleberry.
But I just thought because it's the longest going, it's the 18th time that no one has won this big amount of money.
Wow.
So you got tomorrow.
So long
if
for no
one
to
wins
win.
It tomorrow,
yes.
I don't know whether they go to the nearest numbers or
no.
They do it Friday.
They don't go to the nearest numbers if no one wins.
No,
the nearest.
What they used to do is if it carried on and on and on.
Yeah.
I think they shortened it a bit, so the people that got some of the numbers.
No, that sounds like a dream you had, Susan. I wish you the best of luck.
And
let us know how it goes.
You.
Thank you very much indeed. The book that Susan talked about. So here's the thing: the late night alternative transcripts. It's all the profits go to the Samaritans. We are, I think, we're about 18 books off, possibly less, $2,000. $2,000. We've sold well over 300. If you want the book, lulu.com, lulu.com. Type in, here's the thing, late night alternative. It pops up. It's got a green cover with a picture of me and Kath on there. I think it's $12.99 and £5.98 of that. That's all the profit will go to the Samaritans. It's going to be on sale until December the 26th and then we're stopping it. Then it becomes a collector's item. So you can get that at lulu.com. Here's something. Sam is back after, dropped a pen. After dropping a lot of pens, metaphorically, he nearly died. Well, I don't say nearly. That's private. Don't discuss that on the air. He told me in the office he knows the way it goes. Sam's dying. But hopefully they can find a cure. I've got my fingers crossed, although Amy was excellent, and we should have her on standby.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't like the emotional involvement here, because if Sam does die, which is actually a possibility, dear listener, I'm going to be sad. So can we just, for tomorrow, just get rid of him?
What, so we can grieve?
Don't want to grieve.
In private.
I just want to forget about him.
Okay.
It's like loads of kids you went to school with, right? Probably dead. Car crashes, drugs, sexual diseases. Probably dead, right? You're not mourning them because you don't know. You've forgotten them. I want to do the same with this guy. I want Amy in. Amy was fit and healthy, young, vibrant.
Clean living.
Clean living. I don't want this guy because I don't want to do, oh, Sam died. Because I won't mean it. I hope they find a cure for you, mate, but
it means that most sincerely.
I will not be shaking your hand anymore. I don't know how it's
not
transmitted.
Till we know, yeah.
I don't know how it's transmitted. Not unless I'm wearing two gloves. Now, here's the thing. We've also got a record coming out. Oh, yeah, you've missed a lot. Your record is coming out. The first 100 copies will receive a free platinum.
It's not platinum, it's
grey.
It's grey.
Platinum is grey.
Well.
Membership card, okay? We're not taking any more orders because we had a rush on Friday. I think we've sold very, very close to 100. I just need to add them up. And I was unable to do that this weekend. My abacus, get this, my abacus was broken. I'm about to do a joke that I've just made up. Here's the thing. I had a problem with my abacus this weekend, right? I really need it for counting. I'm sure I had two, but I could only find one. That's actually quite a clever joke. Sam gets it. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm so bad at counting, I can't even count two.
Yeah, but a joke is stretching it, isn't it?
Okay, okay. It's more now. Had to dump myself a second time there. I had to double dump myself there because I was provoked by don't, please.
If I do another one, you're sacked.
Please.
You can't dump that fast.
They can't, well, do you know what? I think I could probably say anything tonight. All eyes are on Julia Hartley Brewer. That's where the sacking is going as she gives out the public private information of people that aren't very popular at the moment. Well done, Julia. tomorrow's breakfast show will be hosted by Alistair Stewart, I'm pretty much sure. So don't order any more of the record. We'll tell you about that in a bit. Let's go to our good friend, Alan Caddick. Alan!
Are you more than care?
Okay, here's Alan. I'm going to ask you something, right? I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't want any questions from you. I just want you to do it because Catherine and I, we're having so many good ideas at the moment. The book, the record. Oh, no.
Can't wait for the record.
Yeah. Catherine and I, and our friend Billy Hayes.
Don't know him.
Exactly. Have got an idea we're working on. Early stages. I don't want to reveal too much of the idea at the moment.
Okay.
But Alan.
Yeah?
Imagine there was a concept album about this show and you were track 3 on there. How would you sing a song about yourself?
My name is Alan. He was a caller. With a girl like a man, he know he's the only one. We were calling that when Roger 10. We were calling a man. When he gets on love again, he from not get to go. And when he put it down, then they'll call it back. And then he'll be on the horn and he'll sleeping with that show. But sleeping and snoring will load. He's a snorer, a snorer cabana. Snoring and batting were always a batting or a snorer. Who's in Guam?
This is Talk Radio.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, that idea may take some fruition. I'm Ian Lee. This is the Late Night Alternative. We don't do Brexit for now. Who are you, lady?
Catherine Boyle.
Welcome. I have got a nice little shed in my back garden, and I've had it done up. I've had the shed done up, right? And it's got power in there now. I've put a little cheap little sofa bed in there. And yesterday, I bought a PlayStation 3 off of Facebook Marketplace, right? And it was 120 quid. It was PlayStation 3, 42 games, right? Controllers, all of that. And so I was going to offer them 100. Should take 100 for that. So I messaged them, is it still available? And her reply was, yes. Are you Ian Lee off the radio? You can't haggle then. You cannot haggle then. You can't haggle then. I had to go, yeah, yeah. She said, oh, if you want to come round now, we're just watching Labyrinth. And I went, ooh, keep an eye out on David Bowie's. It was her and her boyfriend. So this was I said, oh, you should keep an eye out for David Bowie's trousers. you'll see why. And I went round there and they hadn't got to that bit yet. And I paid, happily
to
paid,
the trouser
paid,
section.
Happily paid the £120. I wanted to haggle, but I was unable to because she knew I was a celebrity. Celebrities cannot haggle. Although I remember years ago getting a string of calls from people who'd seen Shola Ammer at car boot sales. One for the kids there. And then I said again, keep an eye on David Bowie's trousers. And then a few, when I got home, I checked the Facebook. He said, oh, do you mean his giant dick that you can see inappropriately in a kid's film? And I said, yeah.
That's exactly what we mean, ladies
so
and gents.
So in the den, I'm calling it. Now I've got PlayStation 3. And the boys came, my kids came over at the weekend and we were going to stay in there Saturday, right? And actually it was surprisingly warm. But here's the thing. What I'm trying to say is I've been a little bit wobbly recently in the old Headington. And the reason I know this, because I was getting grumpy with the kids. Your kids came over on Saturday and we had a lovely, lovely day. But I was just getting a little bit grumpy with the kids. And then instead of hanging out with my boys, I spent like an hour and a half on Saturday trying to get the Wi-Fi to work in the shed. And it was it's a real, when I obsess about something that is not that important, it's a real sign to me, you're going nuts, man, and you need to meditate and chill out. So I spent an hour and a half, and the way I was doing it, and my friend Will Guyatt, the technical expert, told me to do this. He said, you need this thing called Amplify, right? It's 360 quid.
How much?
It's a box. It plugs. You plug your internet into it. Then you get these massive dongles and you plug one in and you plug. And he said it will travel. You'll have super fast internet. Well, that was a lie. I did not. I had adequate to barely adequate internet. Right? It was taking 2.3 megabytes to download Fortnite. I moved an Xbox in there just for the night burglars. And I'm stressing about it, and my kids are like, come and just hang out with us. I'm going, I can't, I've got to get this to work. I've got to make this work. And I was really, really struggling with it. And I went on Twitter going, everyone was giving me this suggestion. You can buy these plugs. You can buy plugs that you plug into a wall and then you plug it in the other wall and the electricity cable, the Wi-Fi travels through the electricity. And I'm going, well, that won't work. Said it's got a fuse box in there. It's different. They said, no, it'll work. I said, it's got different fuse. It's on a different fuse box. It's on a different circuit. It won't work. I bought some today and it worked perfectly. It took my internet up to 35 megabytes a second.
Which is an impressive rate.
Shed. It's an impressive rate. So thank you for everyone who suggested that. But here's the thing, man. My head, last week I could feel myself. A while ago I tweeted, I'm feeling really happy for the first time in ages. I know this isn't forever, but I'm just acknowledging it now. But can I be honest? When I tweeted, I know this isn't forever, I was so high, I thought this is going to be forever. And I was saying, well, I know it's not going to be forever, but I was thinking, I think this is going to be forever. So when the inevitable dip kind of started, I think I went into a bit of a panic mode thinking, oh, God, here we go again. And you saw me be a little bit grumpy and you've said it wasn't as bad as I perceived
it. It really wasn't
it to
be. As bad.
Shut up, I'm talking. Jokes.
May I?
Respondez vous, s'il vous plaît, madame. Moselle.
I could see that you were giving yourself a hard time about it, but I don't think the kids noticed.
No. That's because they were locked in the basement. But now I can feel myself getting the other way and I'm getting a little bit hyper. But what I'm trying to say is hold on to your dreams, kids, because life is a roller coaster.
May I interject further?
Oh, yes.
You messed up your meds a couple of days last week.
That's correct.
I wonder whether that's knocked things.
Might be. Could be. Who knows? But so my head's been wobbly this weekend, and I didn't really appreciate my time with the kids, and I feel I let them down a little bit. Sunday was very dry, very dry. We just stayed in and played video games all day, which is not great, I don't think. But I'm here. I'm fine. I'm on fire tonight. It's a great opening 23 minutes to the show. I might take a week off soon if that's all right with you.
Yeah, double bubble for me, innit?
Okay, right, that's fine. Let's go to Yvonne. Good evening, Yvonne.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Yvonne.
I've not called before, but I just had to tell you what a brilliant day I had on Sunday listening to your podcast. So I listened to you all week.
Yeah.
But with Clinton Baptiste.
Oh.
I've replayed that 7 times. And the funniest bit was when he went, get stuff.
He was a little bit fresh with his language.
And I've not heard that say since I've been at school, and I'm approaching 52. Oh. So I'm thinking, I just loved it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I will let him know, because he's apparently a couple of his live shows, he's not been able to make contact with the dead on stage, which is unlucky for a psychic. So he said they've been a little bit dry in terms of the spirits not attending to the shows. So that will please him no end.
I just loved it, because you know when he did that numbers thing, guess the number, yeah. Guess all your numbers.
How did he do that?
He went, no, because it was a delay thing. And then when he went to our car, she double-sixed him.
she was blocking him, I thought, which was...
I was helping.
She was blocking him. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I will let Clinton know, Yvonne.
Thank you
very much. That's nice. Well, if you missed the Clinton Baptiste special, it was great. An hour of him here with us. If you go to Acast, iTunes, if you look for that, then you'll probably find it. Just been sent this. I don't know what this is. Let's have a little listen. Hang on. I'm not sure what this is. Billy Hay. Okay, so you may have guessed, we're planning on doing a concept album of the show that could be performed live at some point, where me and Kath sing it. This is Billy, our mate Billy Hayes, who's a brilliant musician, and he's written this. It's the first time I've heard it. He's literally just sent it to me. And also the callers would sing their songs.
This is starting to sound like a musical.
This is great, isn't it? Here we go.
So follow us down to the rabbit hole.
We're not going to play anymore. We'll play it after 11, because that's too good just to sneak in there. That's too good to see.
I've got a little tear rising.
Yeah. Billy is brilliant, by the way, at Hazy79. He's brilliant. Thank you, Billy. Literally just sent me that 5 minutes ago, and we could be on to something very special here. If we were a BBC local radio, we'd win a Gillard for that. getting our callers to make an album with us.
For what it's worth.
Good evening, Noel Taylor.
Good evening, Ian and Kath.
Hello.
Billy sounds great.
Billy's got one of those voices that is just delicious, and he's also a very, very talented musician and songwriter as well. So we could be onto something very special here.
I can hear as good as Leon Roliatt.
What can we do for you? By the way, I owe an apology to Sun readers because the Sun did an advert for the show today. And the advert read, join Ian Lee tonight as he takes viewer calls, to discuss and debate the latest news headlines and showbiz stories. So if you've tuned in for the latest news headlines and showbiz stories, I'm really, really sorry, but that was bollocks in the Sun. Who'd have thunk it? So, unfortunately, we just sit here and we talk nonsense and, talk about writing musicals about our show.
And people join in.
That's where we are. So if you're new from the Sun, thank you. You're welcome. Of course you're welcome. Everybody's welcome. But Julie Hartley Brewer, we ain't. We don't dox people. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Noel, please continue. Avez-vous, s'il vous plaît, monsieur.
I'm very excited, Ian, because I've invented the...
Is it a hot plate? You've invented a hot plate?
No,
a hostess
no.
trolley?
No. I've invented it's an invention that anyone can do. And it's a smartphone wet wipes pouch.
do you clip it to your belt like an old man clipping a mobile phone there?
The great thing about it, you can have it anywhere. So you can have it on your belt or wherever.
Okay, talk us through it, Noel, because I know there'll be people at home that want to make this.
Yeah, so what it is, it's a plastic pouch, reusable, and it'd be...
don't know what that means.
Glasses case.
Okay.
So you'd have a glasses case.
Yeah.
And you'd have wet wipes. It'd be one wet wipe and one long wet wipe.
Yes.
And you'd fold it in half, and the bit that you folded goes at the base.
Of your
plastic pouch.
You're just describing the pull-out technique that wet wipes have used for decades.
No, but this is clever because your smartphone fits inside it. You change it daily.
Okay.
And it cleans it. It keeps it clean constantly.
My smartphone is totally covered in, spaff.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Wouldn't you also have a wet phone?
Well, the thing is, phones nowadays are water resistant.
I knew you were
going to
say
it doesn't matter.
Water resistant. Yeah, well, it does when you're handling it.
It'd be like a bit of soap.
You can't make a phone call on a bit of soap, Noel. Here's an invention. soap on a rope that you can make a phone call on. Smart soap, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't even know what soap is these days, Noel. Can you show a kid a bar of soap and he thinks it's...
food.
It's food.
Like you're saying, Ian, it's the normal soap is great for you, isn't it? It's got natural oils in it and that, and it's really good for your skin.
I
thought it was drying.
I'm not like you. I'm not like normal men. I have money, and I would always go for Imperial Leather when I'm taking my family on a train or a spaceship. Sorry?
I've got Imperial Leather.
Yeah, really? That's your nickname for your penis. Now,
Have you got one of them soap dispensers that means you have to sink a magnet into your soap bar and then it clicks on the top? Granddad used to have that. Yeah, it was great. Stops it being all wet in the tray at the bottom. You know, a soap tray was always like full of... slime.
Yeah, but then, here's the thing, you know Ronco?
Yeah.
The company in the 70s, Ronco would make these great inventions, right, that never worked. They made one where it was, it was like this thing that would clip onto like a wine bottle or a mm-hmm. beer bottle,
yeah.
And you would turn a handle and it would cut the top off and you could make a vase. This is absolutely true, you can Google it, it would make a vase,
it
right?
It cut glass,
it would make a vase. And they were great, except... it was really sharp cut glass. They did the same thing for soap, where you'd get all of the bits of soap
right.
and put them together, and then you'd squeeze this thing. I think it was like you press it down, and out will come a bar of soap made of all the puby, claggy bits of soap. Can someone tweet it? Can someone tweet the glass bottle thing and the soap maker? And it would make, but it means you have like a sort of browny, greeny, white, dirty bar soap.
So what they did
it's
was
a genuine thing.
Invent things that would give you an infection.
But pretty much. if anyone can tweet at Ian Lee or at Flipping Kath with both those Ronco inventions. Ronco did one for records as well, and I can't think.
Oh, did he heat them and turn them into ashtrays?
Was it just a cleaner? That seems very mundane for Ronco. You know why it was called Ronco, don't you, Noel?
Sorry?
Do you know why it was called Ronco?
No, I don't.
Catherine?
Was the owner called Ron?
Yeah! It was a bloke, honestly, it was a bloke called Ron, and it was his company. This is what I want to get back to. This is why I voted Brexit. So we can have Ronco back. If someone, do you know what? I'm going to go on eBay in a bit, right? And do you know what I'm going to buy if they've got it? A Ronco catalogue. That's what I want. I'm going to look in a second. Noel, was there anything else?
Yeah, can I give my website a plug, please?
Oh, mate, of course you can.
It's www.inventivate.co.uk.
Master what?
Inventivate.
You got the .com, did you? How do you spell inventor?
No, .co.uk.
Inventivate.co.uk.
Someone beat you to a...
How do you spell Inventivate?
I-V-E-N-V-A-T-E.
Inventivate is IV.
Event.
IN.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
VENTIVATE.
TI Inventivate. Okay.
.co.uk.
Here we go. Let's have a little look to see what's happening on Inventivate. Homepage. All of the inventions on this website are free to anyone as I have not patented them. Inventivate is a company run by serial inventor Noel Taylor. One of Noel's main inventions is the rolling container, invented mainly for LEDCs and developing third world countries. It can be used in up to and including up 102 different ways, especially as a transportable water container that can travel over any terrain imaginable.
A rolling container. Is that a barrel?
It is like a barrel. Right. It's like a big, if you imagine a big lorry wheel that's got central axles going to it. So it's got a steerer going to the central axles.
Noel has a list of 30 inventions that anyone can do. Also, there is a list of 138 inventions. As a disclaimer, some could have been invented elsewhere, unbeknownst to Noel Taylor. There's you've got very neat handwriting. There's Paradise Earth in detail. let's not get bogged down with that. Noel!
There'll be no crime, time, dime, police, politics, pollution, recycling, hate, professional schools.
Hang on a minute. Noel.
Yeah.
You've put something on your website that I don't want to say what is on there, but are you sure you want to put it on there?
I'll have to check. I'll have to look.
You put your phone number on there, mate.
Yeah.
You're going to get...
My phone number's on the On Roliath as well.
All right. Well, fair play. In that case, good luck to you. Noel, thank you very much indeed. 0344. 499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, let's go to Ross. Good evening, Ross.
Good evening, Ian. I was then about to go to bed, and then I just heard you. I just flicked you on the DAV and heard you talk about your man cave.
Yes.
And I am in my man cave as well.
Oh, are you masturbating?
Oh, God.
No, not at the minute.
What a waste. What a waste.
Shall I describe my man cave?
I'm slightly concerned because I hate the phrase man cave, but yes, continue, evusive player.
Well, that's what you, what did you call yours?
Den.
I called it a shed or a den.
Oh, a den. Oh, yeah, alright, fair enough.
Alright.
Well, I've got, in here, I've got all my CDs.
Yeah.
I have got my...
Supposing you want to listen to a CD in the house?
Well, I can do, but I suppose to listen to her, because I suppose in peace and quiet in there, and I've got my nice leather city in here as well.
Okay, alright, I like it.
And at the minute, I've got the tumble dryer and all the normal...
Whoa, hang on a minute.
That's not a shed, it's a garage.
You've got a tumble dryer in there?
Yeah, that's a garage, yeah.
Flippin' heck, man.
I don't think it can qualify as a man cave if it's got that kind of equipment in there.
Yeah, but that's all going to come out, and that's all just going to be... I want to decorate it out. I want to get laminate flooring.
You've got a garage.
Vinyl for the floor.
Yeah, you've got a garage.
That's a garage,
I've got a den.
Yeah, but this is even bigger, mate. This is like three times the size of yours.
Yeah, but yours has got a dishwasher, a tumble dryer, and it hasn't got a floor. Mine's got a floor, and it's got a PS3.
And it's not about size, it's about what you do with it.
Thank you, Catherine.
I have got the Wi-Fi things that you said about as
the
well.
Wi-Fi.
It took me ages to figure out how to do it, but I did it, yeah.
That's the thing. Well, get it. Here's the thing, man. All I've had done in mine, I've had the walls painted, I've had a floor put down, and a couple of plug sockets. Bishy, bashy, boshy, I'm in. I now got a sofa bed in there, I slept in there with the boys at the weekend. Get it done, man.
Is it insulated, then?
Yep.
Is that as intimate as well?
Yeah, baby.
Cozy.
Yeah, it's nice and cozy.
Oh, right, that's what I need to do with this then. I need to get this insulated.
Basically, you just phoned up to say you've got a garage. Well, that's not the phone in.
Alright, fair enough.
Good luck, Ross. Thank you very much for your call. Kath, come and watch this. You might want to watch this. Who sent this? Stu has just sent this. This is an advert, a TV advert for the Ronco bottle and jar cutter. Here we go.
Oh. We are unwrapping the greatest gift you will ever give to mom, dad, even the kids. It's the Ronco bottle and jar cutter, an exciting new way to recycle throwaway bottles and jars into decorative glassware, centerpieces.
There's a goldfish bowl!
Emery cloth is included to make glasses glinting.
She's drinking from it!
A hobby for dad, craft for the kids, or great gift for mom. The Ronco bottle and jar cutter, still only $7.77.
Wow.
You get an emery thing so you can file it down so it won't cut your face.
But here's the thing, you know, whenever you're making something or gluing something and it says sand it down, no one ever really. You do it, maybe it might do a little and that's it. No one ever really does it sanding it down till it's smooth.
Not till it's mouth safe.
That mum's going to have a smile like the Joker. I'm being told it was the if anyone can send an advert or a poster for the Bremaine. Hang on. Just been sent a half hour mix of all the Ronco commercials. Oh, God.
Well, that's tomorrow sorted.
No, it's not. It's tonight sorted. 30 minutes of Ronco adverts.
Where can you buy smokeless ashtrays that help eliminate offensive cigarette and cigar smoke? At the Ronco Gift Center. And where can you buy the electric food dehydrator that makes delicious apple snacks and naturally sweet banana chips? At the Ronco Gift Center. At the Ronco Gift Center, you'll find the Auto Cup, the amazing no-spill cup, the Ronco battery tester. It tests AA, C, D, even 9-volt batteries. The Ronco record vacuum.
That's the record thing. It's a,
by keeping them dust and static free.
Oh,
and scratch don't forget the record, Mr. Dennis, the fabulous tooth polisher. It helps remove unsightly tobacco and coffee stains. The Miracle Broom is great for all small cleanups. The Roller Measure, great for your measuring needs. The Inside the Eggshell Egg Scrambler perfectly blends the egg white milk in less than 5 seconds. And where can you buy the sensational Mr. Microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio? At the Ronco Gift Center. Solve all your Christmas shopping in just one place.
Gosh.
The Ronco Gift Center. Quality gifts at affordable prices.
Let's have one more, sorry.
All kinds of offensive odors, unhealthy tobacco smoke, irritating pollen and dust from the indoor air you breathe. It's the amazing Clean Air by Ronco. Clean Air by Ronco can filter all the air in a 15 by 20 foot room in 33 minutes. Its quiet electric fan draws contaminated air through the activated charcoal filter. Offensive odors and smoke are removed.
Offensive odors. You can't see this.
Now your family can breathe clean, deodorized air every day. Clean Air by Ronco gets rid of strong kitchen odors, foul bathroom odors, and lingering pet odors before they're trapped in draperies, fabrics on furniture, even your clothes. For larger rooms, get the giant Clean Air 3.
The size of that!
Filtering capacity. Smoke-filled offices and conference rooms need Clean Air by Ronco. Restaurants and public places need Clean Air by Ronco. Allergy sufferers definitely need Clean Air by Ronco. Show you really care. Give Clean Air by Ronco. What a great Christmas gift.
Right, God, Brumain, thank you so much. That is absolute treasure that you've just sent me there. It's a Ronco reminiscence tonight. Your Ronco memories, please, dear listener. 0344-499-1000. Of course, the record clean, it was a thing that you stood the record up in and it would kind of spin it round and would brush it clean. But I think it would scratch records. It was quite an aggressive thing. 0344-499-1000. We got, if you've got any spare vibe, you're going to have to call in because our next two callers, it's Chris and Paul from Stoke Poges.
Gosh, it's the human equivalent of the Ronco Clean Air.
We are screwed.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'm so glad I haven't got my eBay login anymore. I gave it to Catherine because I'm addicted to it. Because I'm just looking at, Ronco Record Vacuum Vintage 1979 Sealed Boxed Vinyl Cleaner. £28, zero bids. I'm kind of thinking, I could use it, but no. 0344-499-1000. It's the Late Night Alternative. We should have lots of new listeners today. Thank you for our mention in some of the national newspapers. If you're waiting for the question, if you're waiting for the thing about Brexit, if you're waiting for the bit where we slag off the Labour Party or the Tories or any of the others, it's not really what we do. If people step out of line, we'll call them out for it. But that's not really what we do. We are just here to have a laugh. It's called the Late Night Alternative because we, Catherine, my co-host and producer, and I want to provide an alternative to everything else that is going on the radio at the moment. Dave, a contributor to the show, said something that I think I may have said before, a long time ago, but maybe I said it privately. He said something on Twitter. Brexit has killed phone-in radio, and it has. For when was the vote? 3 years ago, and we knew about it a year before. So the last 4 years, it's all been about Brexit. And here's the thing. Whatever happens on October the 31st, it will continue to be about Brexit. Another 5 years. We've had a mantra. We don't do Brexit. That may change. That may change as we compromise to continue feeding our kids and, you know, putting, paying the mortgage and stuff. But here's something you won't get, on any other radio show. If I could go back in time, right, and give myself, you always see this on Twitter from time to time. If you go back in time and give your younger self advice, what would it be? I've worked out what that advice would be. It would be, I go back in time and meet 16-year-old me and say, doesn't matter what barbers you go to, they all do pretty much the same. They do. It's dawned on me. After moving, when I moved from London to Windsor, I struggled to find a hairdresser and then I found one, right? And then I moved from Windsor to Aylesbury, and I just think I was really worrying about finding a hairdresser. First one I went to, great. And then today I was in Camden. I was doing a talk at Viacom, and I just thought, I really want a haircut right now, this very, very second. And I walked past the Turkish barbers, and I went in. I've never met them. They did the same haircut that I get everywhere else, with extras.
You let a man you've never met before set fire to your ear hair.
He did. It was Turkish. I've never had the Turkish thing. We got a shitty rag, like a rag that was on fire, and he just rubbed it up and down my ear to burn it. Here's the thing. Here's where I felt demeaned and I felt abused. He said to me, would you like me to trim your eyebrows? And I didn't want them done, but I also didn't feel empowered enough to say no. So I went, yeah. And he trimmed my eyebrows, and I don't like it. You're probably wondering, Sam, you've not seen me for a few weeks, why I look different. It's because I've got the eyebrows of a young man on an old man's head. I felt like such a tart that I let a man touch my eyebrows.
I can't see a massive difference.
Oh, I can feel the difference. He got what do they call it? The comb, and then zip, and I just thought, that's not.
But he didn't get the wax and like shape them for you.
So. No, he didn't do that. But I didn't. Anyway, he did a haircut. They all cost about the same, 16 quid. I gave him 20. They all cost about 20 quid, 15, 20 quid. They're all the same. Same as when I used to go, but when I used to go to a really fancy barber's in Soho, like an expensive one, it's the same haircut. It's the same haircut. So my advice to my younger self is, it's the same. All the barbers are the same. They're all the same. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Ian, hi, how are you doing?
I'm very, very well, Mark. Are you on speakerphone?
On a extension. I don't think I'm on speakerphone. No, I'm actually on the earphones.
What do you mean, the phone?
I'm so sorry, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it?
No.
So I've got my earphones attached to my phone that are going into my ears.
Is it possible to just, like, talk on the phone? Because it sounds terrible.
I'm so sorry, let me just work this out now.
Do you remember in the old days, you used to be able to just make a phone call and the other person could hear you and it was wonderful. And now there's all these bits and pieces and gadgets and what buttons do you press?
Sorry, I'm done. I'm done.
There you go, that's better, man. No need to apologise.
Does that work?
It worked. Well, yeah, I can hear you.
So who makes a Turkish so good at doing haircuts?
I don't know, man. I don't know, but they've got tricks up their sleeve, the likes of which I have never seen before.
They are very good. They're good at making good food.
Yep.
Plus also haircuts.
Yep. Not so good at freedom of speech and letting journalists write stories, but they do good haircuts and good food, and that's enough for me.
Well, I'm not going extensive wise here. You know, I'm just sort of condensing it somewhat. But what I want to do is Pradeep you, if that's okay.
You want to do it? Do you just want to do it to me?
I want us to Pradeep together. Maybe Catherine can join in as well.
Oh, really? You want to unleash that beast?
That's a three-way.
You want to be in, Kath, or do you want to be the judge?
Natch.
Sam, we're going to need you to do 3, 2, 1, go. We don't start saying Pradeep until he has said the word go, all right? Hang on.
3, 2, 1, go.
Pradeep.
Oh no, he's coming back in.
Oh, is he still going?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's a silent body.
And he's also flossing. And dabbing. Impressive.
I have plenty to go as well, I'm just not showing you the first. Don't come and challenge me, boy. Don't come and challenge me. You think you're a man. You're only a boy.
That's all you got.
That's all I've got on that.
That was going to be track four.
Let's say hello. Chris, say hello to Paul. Paul, say hello to Chris.
Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Whereabouts are you, Scottish?
What do you mean, Scottish? Cheeky git.
Oh, no, you a Geordie?
Are you French?
No, I'm English, Anglo-Saxon.
On, well, we all got to put up with that, haven't we?
You're Welsh, then?
No.
I can't place your accent, then.
Well, I said I'm French.
Well, sabbat to you, then.
I know, I had an injury many years ago, and it's knocked my French accent out of me, so I can't speak French anymore. So, ça va?
Comment ça va?
I just speak Welsh.
Plaid Cymru.
Babe, what do you mean Plaid Cymru?
Well, if you're Welsh, Plaid Cymru. Go on, you'll set me up with a joke here.
Pardon?
Come on, you'll set me up with a joke here.
Right. There was a Welsh person and an English person crossing the road.
Okay.
Yes.
Come on, what's the punchline?
No, I... Right. Who threw the rugby ball first?
Who fell where?
The rugby ball. First.
The Welsh person.
No, we just walked past and got on with it because we're better than that, I think. Whatever.
Do you think Wales are going to meet England in the World Cup this year?
Well, it doesn't matter if we do. I you know, you're being so stereotypical now. We all like rugby. I hate rugby.
Okay. Were you the one that brought rugby up?
Well, you played rugby?
I used to play a second row forward years ago.
Really?
At school.
Say again.
Do you know the worst thing position that happened to you in that position?
What?
You used to get down good bruised and kicked in shins.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
You
have a good kick in, haven't you?
Well, playing rugby is a bit of a tough sport, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't be like lily livered and, oh, bless. Oh, never mind. Oh.
Have you been down the pub tonight?
No. Well, that's why I rang up this evening, because I went to go and watch a show down. Am I boring you?
You're not boring me.
Well, what was that strange noise you made?
I think it might have been Ian.
Cheeky git. Oh, Catherine's having a go now. You sidetracked me, because I used to remember Ronco record. You can yawn as much as you want to. I remember Ronco's back in the 70s, and they used to clean your LPs. Yes, I remember those.
Didn't Ronco used to make Shake 'em Back as well, and put the freshness back?
Oh, she was sexy, she was, wasn't she? She had a big skirt on, she did. I remember her.
Oh,
in
my goodness me.
I'm terrible. Sorry.
Have you smoked anything tonight, apart from tobacco?
I'll have you know, I don't do any drugs. I don't do... I have a glass of wine, and I have a couple of gin and tonics. I smoke cigarettes. I don't do any drugs. What about you?
I'm smoking a normal cigarette right now.
Right. How big is it?
It's only a roll-up unbelief. Nothing else in it.
Unbelief, you cheap git.
Yeah, I do like Old Hoban occasionally.
Oh, right. Well, you want to give it up then?
No, I'm sorry, I won't give up smoking cigarettes.
So, unbelief.
Yeah, it's normal tobacco.
Well, but...
Ian, can I now talk to you with what I've called up about? Come on, this is going to go viral, this phone call, isn't it? Ian Lee's going to make some money out of it. It's going to go on the internet.
So, you smoke dodgy tobacco?
I don't smoke dodgy tobacco, you just buy it in the local supermarket.
So, what's your local supermarket? Waitrose?
Well, no, I've got a few around me, they're everywhere, aren't they?
Waitrose?
I've got Waitrose near me, I've got Sainsbury's near me, I've got Tesco's near me, I've got the Co-op near me.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Sausage.
You're a fanny.
Shag a pony.
Radio. For the trouble, the lost, the weary eyed, and the nowhere else to go.
Wow.
So Dirty Perfect.
Down to the rabbit hole. You can take our love, but not our souls. Endless love.
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Wow, thank you, Billy. That's Hazy 79 has written that. It looks like the musical stroke concept album of the show is on, dear listener. It's got to be done. Thank you, Billy. That is that was spot on. I don't like the way when he was singing about souls, it sounded vulgar. Was that just my ears?
No.
He was singing our souls, but it sounded rude. Maybe we could do something with that, because this is not a rude show. This
show. It's about to get rude.
It's about to get filthy. Who have we got next, Catherine?
Right, let me introduce you to Dr. Kate Lister. She's a lecturer from the Leeds Trinity University School of Arts and Communication. But if you are a Twitter user, you'll probably know her as the person behind the at Halls of Yore.
Halls of Yore. Now, as you know, I follow nobody on Twitter unless they're a member of the pop group The Monkees. Okay, so, yeah, but I'm aware of this feed constantly because you keep retweeting it. It's hilarious. Very, very funny. What kind of stuff is on there?
Old-fashioned words for Fanny, mostly.
Oh,
and also, you know, terrible tests they used to do on sailors they had last week. This awful kind of plunger type effort.
Well, let's speak to Dr. Kate Lister now. Good evening, Kate.
Good evening.
So nice to talk to you. What was this test they used to do on sailors then with the plunger?
Well, it wasn't so much a test, it was more of a treatment. It was a picture of a urethral syringe that was used to inject mercury directly into the penis of somebody suffering with syphilis.
Yeah, right into your urethra, Franklin.
Quite testing, I would imagine, but no, it was full-gone syphilis by that point.
Good grief. Right, so here's the thing. You've got a book out. It's coming out soon. I've seen pictures of you looking delighted with it as well. You should, because I've had a look at it today. It's bloody brilliant. It's kind of horrible histories, like the mucky late night version.
But about fannies.
Well, I've read the first couple of chapters. It covers the word whore and where that probably comes from, a very old-fashioned word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it also the origins of the C word.
Okay.
There's a lot of C words. Yeah. I've been prepped. That I can't drop too many C-bombs on your programme.
You can't drop any C-bombs on the programme. We have to be C-bomb free.
They said I could have two. Is that not right?
Who said that? God, we're breaking out in a sweat here now, Kate. God, no C-bombs.
No. They were very strict. No
has the C-word always been... Because it's like, it's the worst swearing, isn't it funny? We can't say the C word, but by saying the C word, everyone has got it flashing in their head in big neon letters. Has it always been, like, offensive?
No, it absolutely hasn't. Back in the medieval period, around about the 13th, 14th century, it appears in medical dictionaries and doctors are using it. It's just your day-to-day average word. You would go to the doctor, say, I think there's something wrong with my C word.
I love it.
And it started getting rude later on, relatively late on, didn't it?
Yes, it starts to take on a really offensive quality round about the Shakespearean time. It's got the rise of Puritanism. And it starts, you can see it in Shakespeare's plays and he's referring to it. It's very tongue-in-cheek and kind of he's just subtly alluding to it. There's a moment in Hamlet, I have to be really careful I don't say it, but there's a moment in Hamlet where Hamlet says, do you think I mean country matters? But if you pause on the first syllable, then there's the joke being implied there.
Yeah, I remember at school as well as all laughing about the allusion to it in Chaucer. I mean, one of the great moments in The Miller's Tale. She gets caught by hers, which makes you wonder just how easy it was it flapping about?
Well, we watch Naked Attraction a lot, and some of them do flap about.
But my teacher told me something about that word, because he uses the word quaint, Chaucer.
Quaint, yeah.
And my teacher suggested it may have an origin in the French coin or corner. He said, if you open a lady's legs, what do you get in the corner? And they're all related. But the truth is, according to your book, Kate, we don't really know, do we?
Well, we don't. And I'm taking my cue from the Oxford English Dictionary. And it's one of those words that it's so old, we just kind of lose the origins of it. But it's thought to have given us a number of other words. And that word, quainter, that Chaucer uses, also means intelligent, as in cunning.
Mm.
Or if you go up to Scots, if you ken something, that means you understand something, like ken something. So the C word has also given us cunning and ken. And that's how Chaucer's using it. It means like an intelligent.
Ken from Newcastle. That makes sense. Is it true, Kate, that there used to be a street not too far from where we are, I think, near London Bridge, called Grope C Word Lane? And it's where all the sex workers would go and hang out.
Yeah. And it did exactly what it said on the tin. It was a place for groping C words.
Listen to us giggling like school children. I know, but I love it. I do love it. And also, the C, I nearly said it. The C word, it has kind of, it's funny, in England, Britain, it's kind of more acceptable than it used to be. In America, they still get very, very, very upset with that word. But if you go to Scotland, somewhere like Glasgow, it's a term of endearment,
well,
isn't it?
I found out a really interesting stat from your book, Kate, about Irving Welsh's book, Trainspotting. There's 731 C words.
Yeah.
In the film, only 17.
Okay.
Because as you say, that the use of it is different. You can be quite affectionate with it.
It's got a remarkable linguistic dexterity in how you use it. Most, especially in Scotland, you don't use it to mean genitals. It just kind of almost doesn't mean anything. It can mean a person, usually. But it's quite rare, actually, that you hear it being referred to mean the vulva, basically. That's the one that you don't hear very often. It's just a kind of, almost like a nothing word up in Scotland. He's a C word, she's a C word.
Oh, yeah, I watch, I don't know, you're probably aware of the comedian Limmy, and I watch him a lot, and he drops them, and it's not doing it for effect. It's his vocabulary. He's from Glasgow, working class Glasgow, and that is just part of the vocabulary, isn't it? It's those damn Puritans messing up everything. I've always thought it fascinating, and it's a slightly dangerous thing to discuss on a phone-in show, but I've always found it fascinating how four letters on a page, or a noise, you know, that you make with your mouth, can cause so much offence to people, and you know, it can really upset people, and the same with other swear words. But that one in particular, how did the Puritans do it then? What was why did they say you can't say that word anymore, guys? Come on.
I don't know if there was like a meeting where they made the decision.
Very dry meeting.
Really dry. Everyone got a memo. Right, okay. From now on, it's C word only. But it's just, as sex became more and more censored in the Puritan era, so the language that we use to describe sex became more and more censored. In the earlier medieval period, swear words that they would use would be more religious in nature. If you say something like God's wounds or zooms, or, you know, Christ's teeth or something like that.
Christ's
you wouldn't
teeth.
Use, well, along those lines.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a swear word related to a body part like we do now. We have lots of swear words related to reproductive organs. And it's mostly because in the medieval period, sex wasn't considered that offensive. It was kind of bawdy and a bit of fun, and they speak about it quite freely. Like you said, it's in Chaucer's work, so it's obviously, you know, some knockabout, carry-on fun for them. But when you get to the Puritans, they really start suppressing sex. That's when you start getting this idea about sexual sin and sexual transgression, and people are punished for it. And so you start to see the language becoming more and more offensive around that, because people swear about what they care about.
What about whores? Catherine says that there are whores in the beginning of the world. Because whores now is a very, it's a very unpleasant word.
Yeah.
I said sex worker earlier on.
Yeah.
As whores always been an insult, always been a put down?
Pretty much. The etymology of it, the really early etymology, they think that perhaps it sprung from an original word that meant a desire, but it's Germanic, and so it springs from horror, really, and that means an adulteress. It's always been quite offensive, but it hasn't always meant someone that sells sex. It can just mean like sort of like slut or slag, for example. It just means a promiscuous woman.
Right.
And it's quite a contentious term, because it's one of those words that's in a state of reclamation amongst some groups. Is, you know, members of the sex work community were pretty quick to call me out on using it. So I've spent a lot of time researching the word and speaking to sex workers, and they've been incredibly generous and patient with me. And I have included the history of the word there, because I think it's useful to see how the word's evolved and what it means.
Yeah, because it kind of evolved just to be a word used generally by men to uppity women who they wanted to put in their place. They thought they stepped out of line.
No, it's a strange insult, because it's the one that gets levelled at women the most throughout history, but it's got nothing really to do with their sexual state. Like, Joan of Arc was called the French whore, and she died a virgin. And Elizabeth I was the Virgin Queen, but she was also known as the English for by the Spanish. Mm. So it seems to be that's the insult that they go for.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it the patriarchal thing? Is it? I can call Catherine a bit of a. You've been a bit of a cock tonight. I can just which she has. I can.
There's
just,
not a court in the land that you can do him for
I,
it.
I can just about get away with that on here, and it is a much more acceptable word. But if I couldn't call her the C word. It's interesting, isn't it? The male genitals, a dick, you know, cock, balls, you can get away with, but the female genitals, that's where the real insult is. I would struggle. Okay, a few I can do. I would struggle to get away with saying fanny.
Mm.
I certainly couldn't say the C word. The abbreviated verb of form of clitoris, I would probably get told. It's interesting, isn't it, that it's the female parts that seem to carry the most offence. I wondered why that was.
I suppose it's because throughout history it's been female sexuality that's come in for a particular amount of censor. This idea that like boys will be boys has been throughout Western history, and it's the women that have been punished for their sexuality far more. But it's like even today, as you're saying, that we struggle to think of language to talk to about the vulva. I was speaking to a GP the other day, and I said, what's the language that people use when they come and speak to you? And he said that like most people go, there's something wrong with down there. That's what they say. And I'm not suggesting anyone, you know, uses the C word, because it might be everyone.
But here's the thing, even I'm like an educated, I consider myself to be, you know, all waking, maybe not completely woke, but waking. But I've got two little boys that are 7 and 9, and a few years ago they asked me, where do babies come from? And I had no problem saying penis. But I hesitated for a second before saying vagina. Yeah. I hesitated because it felt like I should. But penis and vagina is the same language, you know. And yet I still felt that. Oh, should I be? Of course, I should say that.
I know, but it's vagina feels really clinical and like it's not used very much in day to day. Like I'm forever asking people, what are your words that you use for it?
Yeah,
because it's either overly medicalized. Really offensive, really childish.
Yeah, the childish one is the one that gets me when you hear, you know, grown women refer to their foo-foo.
Minky, fairy,
I know.
Tuppence is a classic, though.
It's tuppence.
Let's never get rid of the tuppence. Go on, Kathy.
Yeah, no, but what I found really interesting as well, I found all of it interesting, and I'm definitely
buying
it. By
the way, get pens and papers, guys, because we're going to tell you the title of the book, where you can get the book, and we'll tweet out all the stuff
and
as well.
Here's another thing, Kate. When I mentioned it, I was talking to my dad, who is a 65-year-old man, and he went, oh, whores are you? Yeah, all right, I follow her. And I went, I know what you're getting for Christmas. The thing I found really interesting was the origins of the word penis and vagina, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Kate's book, I learned penis is like sword and vagina is just sheath. So basically, you're walking around talking about your knob holder.
Oh.
That vagina is Latin for scabbard. It means something that you put a sword into.
You're just a receptacle.
Its whole etymological function. So it's not really very feminist at all.
Wow.
Really. So it's, you know, the C word is far more empowering because that might mean intelligence and cunning.
But language is evolving, right? So there is a chance that it will swing back the other way and the C word becomes acceptable again?
It'll be off the naughty step. Maybe. But I don't know, would you want that, though? Do you not like the fact that it's a bit naughty and it's there for emergencies?
Yeah, just break glass. I like the power of it myself, you know.
You just hold it back from time to time and then boom, you've got it out and then, stunned your friends.
Do you remember, Catherine, the first time you said the C word in front of your mum? Have you ever said
No, I never said it.
Have you never said it?
No! I said shit once in front of her and I got my mouth washed out with soap, so I wouldn't try the C-bomb. No, I wouldn't, but I remember the first time I said it in front of you and you nearly died.
Yeah, I was...
Of laughter.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite careful with my words and I think the fact that I said it, like I said, it was powerful.
My boys, Kate, are fascinated with swearing. It's worn off a little bit, actually, but they're fascinated with swearing. And if they see a film that's got, like, an S-bomb in it, they go, there's my youngest, my 7-year-old, turn to me and go, there it goes. They saw a film with their mum the other day, and they said, oh, we saw a film yesterday with mummy. I said, oh, yeah, was it good? They said, yeah, it had the C word in it. And I started sweating and thinking, my God, what is going on in that household? And I went, really? What? And we talked about it, and I said, just remind me what the C word is. And he looked at me and went, crap.
Sigh of relief.
And I breathed, and part of me wants to empower him and give him the keys to be the king of the playground for a day, but part of me is enjoying the...
Just doesn't want that conversation with the head of school.
He's enjoying the innocence. When did you start the Twitter feed, at Whores of Yore, and why?
I started it back, it's got to be about 2015, 2016.
Right.
And I'd love to tell you it was a really well thought out project, but it wasn't. Good. I was researching the history of sex, and I found a reference to a quote-unquote strumpet in 14th century London who called herself Clarice Clatterbollocks.
Hang on, it's not the greatest line. It's not the greatest line. Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, just one more time. Clarice Clatterbollocks.
Oh, God, that's my new Twitter name.
There we go. That's beautiful. Go on.
I think that was the first tweet I ever put out, and that was that.
Oh, I don't blame you. That's brilliant.
What is the book called? And where is the best place for people to get it that gives you the most money?
Okay, it's called A Curious History of Sex.
Yep.
And it's available through Unbound Publishing. And it's... Or if you order it there, the pre-order profits are being donated to Basic Sex Work Project in Leeds. So you get to do some good as well.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, Kate, were you, Catherine?
Yeah, also, I've got to say thank you for introducing the term pudding bag to my vocabulary.
Kate, listen, you're welcome on any time. You want to come on?
Oh, thank you.
We will do a little tweet during the next break as well, and we'll get the link and send people off.
And this is going out as a bonus podcast tomorrow as well.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kate, thanks so much for your time. We'll speak again. Thank you. There you go. That's Dr. Kate Lister.
She's brilliant.
At Whores of Yore on Twitter. A Curious History of Sex. We'll find that and we'll tweet out the link to that. I think we'll have to get a copy of that. She's good, man.
She's so good.
Well done. Who else have we got on this week? We've got Saffron from Republica. Uh-huh. It's coming on Thursday. Oh, I've got a reply to the Chat It's Fate woman as well. She's coming on this week.
And weren't you going to get Paul Garner on at some point?
Paul's not got back to me. Paul Garner is a comedian and he's a writer and he's brilliant. And he's also the son-in-law of Chaz Hodges from Chaz and Dave. And there's a huge Chaz and Dave box set is coming out. And he's going to come on at some point and talk about that and stuff. But also, it's a year since Chaz died. It's a year since Chaz died. And what the Garners and Chaz and Dave have done is they, and the Hodges, I should say, they did a concert for Chaz. I think, was it Shepherd's Bush? I think it was. And they had like Eric Clapton and all these kind of people playing there. They've just put it up on YouTube. If you want to go and see the whole tribute concert to Chaz, Hodges from Chaz and Dave, it's up on YouTube, and I'll tweet a link to that as well at some point. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio,
the late night alternative with Ian Lee, on air and off the leash on Talk Radio.
Just tweeted a link if you want to get A Curious History of Sex. I think it's coming out in February. So, and there's all different packages you can get. It's on Unbound, so it's kind of like a pledge type thing, but it's not quite. But with the, hang on a minute. You can get it with, here we go. Yeah, so you can get all the different kinds. You can buy the book, you can buy the ebook, you can buy all different kinds of packages and things with it. So there's the link if you want to get it. I'm going to order one. 03-444-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to get in touch. But absolutely anything you want. Let's go to Nigel from Maidstone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Nigel.
And Catherine.
Hello.
What can I do for you tonight, Nigel?
Oh, quite a bit to talk about, really. We didn't have much time on Friday, did we?
We had quite a bit of time, and it was quite a frustrating...
I rung up later, though, didn't I?
I don't know if you rung up later.
It was after 12.
I don't know. But you came on, and we had quite a bit of time, and it was a little bit frustrating because you weren't listening to us.
No, but there's no need to... I'm not going to talk about those things.
Beautiful. And what have you got for us tonight, then?
I'll just move into Mum's beat because it's a better signal. Mum's the word.
Mum's the word.
I've been watching Yadam's Family, the first one they did. It was a brilliant film, wasn't it?
Never seen the films. I remember the TV series, but I've never seen the films.
Oh, you never... films have been out on VHS for years and stuff.
Have they? No, I've not seen them.
Christopher Lloyd, you know, with the white hair, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty.
Great Scott!
Like, and they make him up to look fat and bald and yeah. ugly in it. But
you couldn't do that now. They'd have to get a fat, bald, ugly man to play the part.
Yeah. Christopher, the very first film that she did at 12.
Christina Ricci, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant, so funny, but not frightening, but funny.
No, it's a comedy, isn't it? Yeah, have they just remade it, or is it just a cartoon that they've done? Can't you have done a cartoon movie of it?
And they say,
Nigel, could you ask him, Catherine?
Nigel, could you move to where you normally ring us?
Yeah, this is, I'm in the street now, is that better?
No, it's not. Don't you normally call us from, like, your bedroom or somewhere?
No. The children above my head. I'll go into the kitchen.
Just have the word children.
Yeah, there's children above your head.
It's better, isn't it?
For anyone.
Hello?
This is over by the window.
Yeah. Okay, stay there.
If you could just start every phone call from there, that would be great, mate.
I was going to, but I thought you were in mum's chair.
No, it's the window. Remember now, it's the window. If you start every phone call there, it saves us about 45 seconds of trash. Okay. Thank you,
the
mate.
The window, Lee. Anyway, did you know I had a girlfriend?
Yes.
69?
The one, 62. I
wasn't asking her age, mate.
Oh, don't now.
So, anyway, so I've been seeing her for 3 weeks, and I saw her this afternoon.
Did she see you?
I've gone back to busking, by the way, every day in Tunbridge. Busking.
Beautiful. That's great news.
Yeah. And someone filmed me for YouTube. It's not been put on yet. But yesterday I got £3 off a man, which was handy.
Very handy. Well, it's good if you get... Yeah. Did you get any money today?
No, because it rained before I could get started. I got done one or two songs and it was raining, so I had to put the equipment away because I didn't want to get it wet.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So anyway, so then after that, I went to McDonald's for the burger, and then I went to my girlfriend's after the burger.
And then another burger.
Come on.
Give me a bit of energy. Anyway, so yeah, I told you before, she's got a telly on the wall in her bedroom, and that you push your two beds together, and you said, don't fall down the crack, didn't you?
So don't fall down her crack, yes.
No, the bed crack.
Because
you can, they can open up, and you could fall down the middle.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway, so... But she's not well at the moment. She's got a touch of flu.
Headache, is it?
No, sore throat.
Steady on, Nigel. Come on.
She can't swallow very well.
Hey, wow. Can we get Kate Lister back, please?
No, it's not funny, but she suffers from arthritis, Ian.
Yeah.
And she has to drink morphine out of a bottle.
Out of a bottle, you say?
Oh, God.
Yeah. My gosh. She has to drink morphine out of a bottle. Wowzers. You're going out with a junkie. Beautiful.
No, the doctor has to give her the bottle of water. She could put it in a cup, though, couldn't she?
She could do, yeah. It's classier. Yeah.
But her spine is crumbling at the bottom. She's, not at the bottom, but her spine is crumbling. But it's not going to stop her walking. She won't give in to it, she's very aggressive. So I'm helping. At least that she's got a good friend for me to help her.
Do you help her get up?
No, she can get up. But
does she help you get up?
No, sometimes.
Why is it so quiet? Whack this up, because I'm going to have fun with this.
She helps it to come up sometimes, yeah. She's helped. There's a joke there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Anyway, I wanted to sing you I Believe I Can Fly. But I did that at Butlin's one.
By R. Kelly, the Sex Pest. Sure, beautiful. Yeah. Sounds appropriate after this call.
Oh, I didn't know he was a sex pest.
That's what morphine does.
Yeah. But anyway, you can only get that off the doctor, morphine, can't you?
Well, I was walking through Camden today, and I think I was offered it by five gentlemen.
They probably got it off the doctor first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I forgot what I was going to say now.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah, I've gone back to busking. That's good, isn't it? So I can earn a bit of cash, a few bob anyway.
Yeah.
It all helps, doesn't it? Well, a pound can buy you a meal, can't it?
Yeah.
A pound.
Yeah.
Or a burger or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the film about the next time.
Have you moved away from the window?
Yeah.
Don't, don't.
I'm looking for... Hello, I'm still here.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll do my song then.
Yes, please.
Okay, is it better now? Now I'm standing still?
Yes.
Yes, okay, I'll bash on with the fire. Bash on with the...
By the way, just 1 second. By the way, call is... I should have done this as a topic, of course. What do you call your fanny? 0344... 499-1000. Genuine phone in. What do you call yours or your partner's or your mum's fanny? 0344-499-1000.
Let's go. I've got one more thing to tell you.
Not what you call your mum's... No.
No, not that. Well, anyway, not that, anyway. I've got another friend.
So curious, but... Yes?
I've got another friend, a male friend, who's 87, and we're meeting up for a coffee on Wednesday. So I've got two friends.
Does he, That's nice. That's lovely.
Yeah, but and he fancies me.
Oh, here we go.
So does he like it creamy?
I don't. Yes. Now, I'm going to say that I may be a bit like you about things, you know?
What, a very dry sense of humour?
No.
Mustachioed. You know,
I like the comfy of male and female.
Beautiful. Is that how you feel?
I'm not coming out. I'm not quite sure yet, but I don't really mind, you know?
Wow, Nigel.
But it's difficult for me to talk about it, as you know.
It's very difficult for me to talk about. I chose to talk about it today.
I don't see anything wrong with having a male and a female friend, do you?
No, not at all.
No.
Do you feel a little...
I feel comfortable with... Jim, my friend, and I feel comfortable with, my girlfriend.
So do you think you might go for a workout in the gym?
No, that's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
No, I don't do that anymore.
Do you feel comfortable, do you feel happier that you're, now that you're starting to think that maybe you might feel comfortable with men and women?
I think so, but I'm sticking with, Claire, because I like women more than men.
Same here, brother.
Yeah, but I don't mind a male's company or a cuddle or something, you know, from a male man.
Do you know what, Nigel? That's a really lovely thing you've just said.
And I'm sorry, I couldn't tell Mum. I couldn't tell Mum because I bottled it all up inside.
Gosh, that's a big thing to... I bottled it up for 30 years and you've bottled it up for years.
It's hard to talk about, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, it's tough to talk about. Of course it is.
But you feel so guilty, don't you, if you want to have a male friend and a female friend?
I felt ashamed.
Yes, I do feel ashamed for wanting to go out with a man as well as a woman, yeah.
But it turns out, I've discovered recently, there's nothing to be ashamed about.
I don't think Mum would mind, do you, as long as I was happy.
I think she would have been fine with it.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell her. I don't mind having a male friend, you know, as well, you know.
Oh, Nigel. Well, I'm
difficult for me to talk about.
It's very difficult. I feel really honoured, I'm sure Catherine does, and I'm sure the listeners do, that you felt comfortable talking about it with us. That's a really...
It's quite common, isn't it, really? I mean, look at Kristen Stewart. You think it's quite completely normal.
She loves anything and everything.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't feel guilty about it, do they?
No, they don't. These big movie stars, they love it.
Miley Cyrus, of course.
Yeah.
And Miley Cyrus has been going with a lady behind his back.
Well, they've split up now.
Well, technically she would have to be... Well, let's not get into that.
No.
It was on the internet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? I missed that one.
Stop it.
Okay, it was on the internet, it was, yeah. I'll do my song then, Ian.
Yes, please, Nigel. Thank you for sharing that with us. I look forward to...
Am I going to do the chorus? Because it's such a long shot, a lot of reverses to it. I just do the part I know the best without a backing.
Okay.
Here we go, Ian. Hello?
Yeah, no, we're listening. We're waiting for it.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. With my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. See me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. Spread my wings and fly away.
Thanks, Nigel. Have a good night, mate.
Thanks a lot, Ian. Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye. Well done. Night-night. Well done. A lot of you saying a lot of nice things about that call on Twitter. That was, it's tough to talk about that stuff. It's tough to, I was doing a talk about mental health today, Viacom, and I went in and it said, Ian Lee is here to talk about mental health, anxiety and bisexuality on Bisexuality Week. And I was like, right. I knew that was going to be part of it. And I said I was cool talking about anything, you know, so I wasn't, they didn't throw me in the deep end, but just seeing it written on a screen and then this, young woman, Rebecca, somebody, she's the presenter on MTV, I can't remember her last name. And, you know, she's like 25 and I'm like 45 and she's going, you've just come out as bi. And I said, yeah. And she's like, she high-fived me. Welcome to the club. And I got a laugh by saying, okay, everybody, if you all strip off, this is what we're really here for. Me and Becca are going to choose teams. Mm-hmm. But it was just weird talk. I get very nervous talking about it still. I'm very, very uncomfortable. And that's why I had to make a joke about it there. And, so it is tough to talk about Nigel, but well done. And that was, it's tough. Carrying when I told you about it, you said, oh, I'm really sorry you had to carry that around with you for so long,
yeah,
as a secret. And it is it is tough. Well done, Nigel. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think we should probably have a break now.
Jacked up jive talk for janitors, jazz cats and gin-soaked boys and girls.
Jack Commando.
If you're awake, you're welcome.
I've got 5 cactus needles stuck in my...
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Nigel's call is canon, right? Canon.
It's definitely canon.
Beautiful. Love it. Let us go to Wayne. Good evening, Wayne.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hiya, Wayne.
Hiya. What were you going to say then, Catherine?
Yeah. Nigel. I was thinking about Nigel.
Go on, Wayne. What you got, mate?
When I was a bairn, my ma used to call me sisters bits a noon. She used to say, when you're in the bath, make sure you wash your noon.
Your noon. Peter Noon from
like
Herman's
noon,
Hermits. That's a good one. I wonder.
Then she used to.
Go on.
Sorry, she used to tell me to wash me old man. She used to call my bits me old man.
Well, they do look like an old man. Even youngsters, they look like an old man, all wrinkly and old before their time.
Noon and old man in Newcastle.
What do you call? It's not too personal a question, Catherine. What do you refer to your vaginas in front of your girls?
I don't often get to chat about it. Probably Fanny.
Oh, and you can't say Fanny to a kid.
we call them all kinds of things.
That's a swear word.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is. But it's...
My kids, when I taught them the proper word for it, and they developed it into, well, she kicked me in the vagina was one of the shouts.
Oh, yeah,
one day.
Boys call it a vagina.
Technically, you know, the vagina is the pipe.
Right.
It's your vulva on the outside. Okay, no one wants to refer to that.
You've lost me now. I've got no idea what you're talking about. Have you got kids, Wayne?
No, single.
Okay, all right. Well, you can still be single and have kids these days, and so it's happening. Anything else, Wayne?
No, that's it.
Nice one, mate. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. 0344-499-1000. What did you, what do you call your private parts?
My goddaughters call it their tuddly.
Tuddly. I wonder if it's a regional thing. Do you know what? Do you know what's a great phone in that whenever you throw it out, you always get? What do you call the TV remote control?
Oh, yeah.
What do you call yours?
Dickie.
A dickie?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Here you go. We're talking about TV remote controls now, not genitals.
Yeah. No.
But a dickie?
It's stupid because my dad... Right.
0344-499-1000.
It's actually Dickie Dirt, right? Which we know is shirt.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it just caught on to be that in our house.
Dickie.
Yeah, the dickie.
I think I call it the magic.
The magic?
Yeah.
The power, we call it. He's got the power.
The zapper.
Yeah.
Zapper. What do you call it? Do you just call it the TV remote, like some boring...
With the remote...
The remote. There we go. I'm guessing that's from a kid mispronouncing it at some point.
Yeah, my sister always called it the remote.
So beautiful. There you go.
The troller. Another one.
What did they used to call it on Telly Addicts? Do you remember?
I know.
The Noel Edmonds Telly Addicts? Wasn't it the hoofer doofer?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't it the hoofer?
That's a word for any old thing, isn't it?
Is it?
Hoofer doofer.
0344-499-1000. What do you call your remote control? What do you call a fanny and a dick?
The thing is, right, there are loads of words for the male member that are kind of inoffensive and but not babyish.
Yeah.
But Kate's right. They're either super medical really, crass.
Yeah.
Or babyish. What's the, well, there's no in, but the only one that's in between, I reckon, is Fanny.
The one, as I get older, I'm getting better saying it in certain circumstances, but it makes me cringe. Pussy.
Yeah, but that's quite sexual, that.
Pussy.
I wouldn't say that to my daughters.
Oh, no, of course you wouldn't say to your daughter. I'm surprised you say Fanny to your daughters.
Oh, I'm not. Fanny.
I wouldn't say it to
Fanny,
kids.
Fanny and Nob are from the same factory, aren't they?
Wasn't that a TV series in the 80s on CITV? Weren't they like knitted little dollies that lived on the canal? 0344-499-1000. James calls it a flicker, but I don't know what I don't know what he's referring to, James.
I do.
Could we really, could you narrow it down a bit? Let's go to Susan for a little bit. Yes, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
And hello.
Can I just say something about Nigel's little comment there about his male friend and being too embarrassed to tell his mum that he liked to have a male friend as well as a female friend? Nigel, I mean, I'm not quite clear why Nigel had a problem with that.
Because lots of people do have. I had a problem with it for 30-odd years.
But like, it doesn't mean to say he wanted to have sex with a man. And if he did, it wouldn't have been a problem, would it?
Yeah,
wouldn't have been a problem.
Gosh, you're so out of touch with the real world.
I don't know his mum, do you? She was a very old lady.
Yes, and so was mine.
Susan, you've got Susan, okay, he shouldn't. Of course he shouldn't. I felt bad about it for 30-odd years. People feel bad about stuff. So that's great, but people do feel bad about it. What was the other point you wanted to make?
To switch the coin to the other side.
I don't really want to talk about it.
I'm a woman, and I've had girlfriends. I didn't go to bed with them. I adored them.
Susan, you've totally misunderstood the entire point of Nigel's call. What was the other thing you wanted to mention?
Well, I used to tease a boyfriend. I used to say, have you been playing around? Have you been shaking hands with your bishop? Or have you been choking the bishop?
Oh, what, when he turned the telly over?
No, if he was masturbating, I'd say, oh, have you been choking the bishop?
Well, and choking the chicken.
Bashing the bishop.
Bashing the bishop, or choking.
Shaking hands with the unemployed.
Yeah, the unemployed, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much. There we go, that's the end of that.
It's never over.
I cannot stand her calls. I can't stand them. And I don't believe her. And she totally...
You find them bloody hilarious.
And she totally misunderstood Nigel's call.
But there is the advice for anyone who's struggling with their sexuality. Don't!
Here's the thing, right? And this is the thing I found as well, is that you say you're embarrassed or ashamed or something, but so many people, suddenly, Nigel, you know, that news is 2 minutes old. People are phoning up to give him advice and tell him what he did was wrong. Well, it's not your concern. For whatever reason, people are embarrassed or ashamed to address certain aspects. Many people are embarrassed or ashamed to address certain aspects of their sexuality. And those reasons are generally wrong, you know, those reasons. I couldn't talk
about
it.
Sometimes they're right.
Yeah. I couldn't talk about it for years and years and years. And to just say, oh, you should tell his mum, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Of course there's nothing to be ashamed of. But human brains don't always see it like that.
You don't know what his mum was like.
So, but out. Let's go to Nick. Good evening, Nick.
Oh, hi. How are you tonight? How are you guys?
How are you, Catherine? Because I know how I am. How are you? I don't know how you are.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
I'd just like to say that I'm 50 years old, and I can recall when I was younger, I also used to dance on the coal shed.
Did you really?
I did, yes. Yes, we had one outside when we lived in Wilson.
Grandad, if I'm good, will you let me have a dance on coal bunker?
That's
Listen,
Catherine.
It's the closest thing to a stage we had, and it made a delightful noise underfoot. What's not to like?
It did. And also, I'd like to say, congratulations to Ian for coming out as bisexual. I think it's
Thank you, Nick.
brilliant.
I thought I'd won a prize, but I have won a prize. I've won the prize of freedom.
Self-respect.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that.
Take care. Goodbye.
Thank you, mate. Take care. Bye-bye. That was a nice call. I like that. Let's go to Damo. Good evening, Damo.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Kath.
Hey, Damo.
Hey.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to put my adage onto the female anatomy namage.
Yes, put your adage on there.
I think it should be judged on appearance. So.
Don't make that noise, for God's sake.
So, no, what I'm saying is, okay, there's a huge spectrum of names. But
the C spectrum of names. Have you had a little bit to drink tonight, Damo?
I've had a couple of ciders.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Do you want to try this now, or do you want to wait until you're sober?
No. Let me just give you the gist of what I'm saying. So,
yes.
The best of the best is a peach. So the best is a peach.
I've never seen a vagina that
looks like a bum.
Looks like a peach. Do you mean it's got like, it's a little bit hairy?
Oh God.
No, far from it.
Well, because peaches are hairy.
No, they're not.
Peaches are hairy, mate. Peaches have got hair on.
They've got a fuzz.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you can't deny that there is fuzz on a peach. So you like them fuzzy?
No, I don't.
Well, then you can't call it a peach.
Okay, well, let's go to the worst angle of the scenario.
Let's not. Is it going to be growler or something?
It's similar to growler. It's a badly packed kebab.
Come on, Damo. That's not how we talk about women's genitals. Come on.
No.
What do they call yours? A tiny, useless penis? I mean, what? Come on now. Come on.
Well, luckily, I haven't found a badly packed kebab.
Because they don't exist.
Well, I should hope not, but
All women are beautiful. Upstairs, downstairs. All men are beautiful. Upstairs, downstairs. Everybody's different. Everybody's shaped differently. Everybody feels different. Everybody looks different and tastes different. And everybody is beautiful down there.
This is true.
Thank you very much for your call, Damo. I don't actually appreciate it. That was unpleasant. That was unpleasant. I'm sorry about that. Of course, what I just said was rubbish. As
I know, because I've been scared by some of those ones on Naked Attraction.
No, it's everybody is different, and you know, everybody looks great, you know, and that's not very pleasant.
Also, women don't need anything else to feel embarrassed about.
No. That's not great. Hey, I watched the best. Thank you to everybody who told me this was on Saturday morning. I only caught the semis and the finals. International tag. Did you watch? You saw some of it. You came out. The World Championships. My God. Me and my boys watched the semi-final and the finals. So it's in this place in East London. It's like this sort of, like a small sort of theatre. And in the middle of the theatre is all this. It's like an obstacle course, right? And one person, there's all these different teams, and it's mano a mano, and it was men. One person.
It's not what mano a mano means.
Yes, it does actually. It means It means man on man.
Doesn't.
Well, it does.
Hand to hand.
It doesn't.
It does.
It means man to hand, does it?
It means hand to hand.
Well, it does. Mano means hand.
Yeah.
All right, mate. All right. Okay.
Levanta la mano.
Okay, Catherine.
Si conoces.
Yeah.
La palabra mano.
And what language is that?
Spanish.
You don't, you do speak Spanish, but you've got that wrong. Mano?
It'll be hombre.
No, that's what Speedy Gonzalez says when he's going faster. Hombre.
No, he doesn't say andale, riba.
No, now you're being racist. Got ya.
Being racist.
Those aren't, those are like, it's like, you know, there's, and I'm not going to say them, there's certain words people do when they want to pretend they're speaking Indian, right? Those are words that people pretend when they want to pretend that they're Mexican. And I'm not saying it. You're an actual racist.
Tell me again how this.
You are works. A little bit of an arm. Send them back is Catherine's mantra.
Send them my way first.
Okay.
What?
So we played, you like it, the hairy French man.
French? No.
So we They, so it was Tag, Giselle and Ren. Stay there, going to come to you in a bit. In fact, let's go to Ren first. Good evening, Ren.
Hello. Sorry, I've got you on speakerphone.
Get off speaker.
Hey, hello.
Are you off speakerphone now?
I'm off speakerphone now.
Thank you very much indeed, Ren. How can we help you on a Monday?
Oh, God, yes. The man that spoke before. I've been listening to you all evening and doing my own business and making pineapple chutney.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it isn't. I really am making pineapple chutney, and I don't think it's going to turn out quite rightly.
Okay.
But the man before, he spoke to you, and obviously he was drunk, and he was talking about, you know, the badly packed kebab.
Yeah.
That's not great, is it?
No, it's horrible.
Women's vaginas, I mean, there are so... I need to present my credentials.
You've got vagina credentials?
I do have vagina credentials.
Beautiful.
Actually.
Let's hear it.
I'm a kink and sex positive educator.
Hachihuahua.
I am also a female ejaculator.
Good for you. Can I just say, my first ever girlfriend was what we would call in pornography squirting, I believe.
Yeah, squirting, gushing, yeah.
My first ever girlfriend, Ren, ejaculated, right?
Okay. How old were you?
17. So
right. Okay.
I assumed that all women did that, and for the next 20 years, I'm thinking, my God, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What am I going on? But I didn't. It took a long time to realise. Not 20 years, but it took a long time to realise. Actually, not everybody, not every woman, does that.
No, they don't. That's one of the greatest crying shames of our society. And I was around your age when I first ejaculated.
Oh.
And I'm not going to go into details, but I honestly thought I'd pissed on his face.
There's detail.
That is quite a bit of detail. That's quite a bit of detail.
Well, I didn't actually describe how it...
No, okay, we got
the idea. We're adults.
Exactly.
But you're right, I was 17, 18, and that happened, and I was aghast. I was like, what? Yeah. What? What's happened?
Yes.
And I said, I'm sorry, I've pissed on you. And he went, no, you haven't, it's not. And then my own body shut down. And I never did it again for maybe 25 years.
No! What, out of shame, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. There was a block. And it wasn't that he wasn't understanding.
Mm.
There was something in my head that said, to my body, I can't do this again.
Gosh.
So I had to consciously relearn the technique.
Yeah.
So when you get callers that are describing women's genitalia like that, you know, the badly packed kebab.
Oh, no, that was unpleasant. And I hope you heard us calling him out.
I heard that, and that's why I'm ringing you, because you did call him out.
Good. I thought you were ringing to tell me off then for a second.
Part
of me did think, well,
no,
maybe I should
have... No, you're not Mike.
No, okay.
nemesis, Mike.
Mike Graham.
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you go. I didn't know he was still on. Part of me did think, I could kind of see where it was going, but and I was going to cut him off earlier. I thought, no, I want to... he started this game. I have to let him do the horrible one so I can call out the whole game as actually being thoroughly unpleasant.
Well, that's very clever.
And unnecessary. Yeah, yeah.
It is very clever. And I think, if I'm going to be really honest with you,
mm-hmm.
that there is a massive disconnect between... The thing is that the way that I understand it is that males have got their appendage right in front of their body and they play with it from a young age. Women don't. And therefore, we don't learn the techniques of masturbation for a long time. And actually, women don't talk about masturbation with each other. We just don't.
Well, men aren't sitting around. Me and Sam don't sit around and talk about a good toss we had the night before.
No, but it is kind of in the jokey remit of blokes, and it isn't with women.
Yes.
And I think if you can joke about it, you can probably talk about it, and women don't.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. For example, I could call Sam a tosser, but there is no equivalent that I could call you that implied. But I don't remember the last time I spoke to another guy about masturbating. Is what I'm trying to say.
I think that's true. I think, I mean, I don't know. I can't be a fly on the wall when men are talking about these things. But I do, I've, unfortunately in my life, I've gone to, I've been with men that have gone to public school and they're boarders.
Oh, God.
And all they talk about is masturbating. And in fact, homosexuality in public schools is running rampant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not, for a lot of people, it isn't seen as being gay.
No, they can call it school gay, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't gay. It was just school
sorry,
gay.
Your name's Sam, isn't it? Sorry.
Who?
Yeah, you're right. It is. They don't view themselves as homosexual.
No, that's Catherine. I'm Ian. Sam is the guy that you spoke to when you.
Oh, sorry, right.
That's
okay.
All right, really. That's all right. It's midnight. The Oasis, for crying out loud. No one knows what's going on. We don't need names here.
Well. More one occasion.
Ren, listen, we have to go because I'm really late for the news. But I appreciate your call, and hopefully we'll speak again at some point.
Yeah, hopefully, and you know, really good. Well done for calling that guy out.
We're not having that. That's not what this show is about. This show is, you know, is celebrating all of our differences and all of our little kinks and all of our weird little things that we do. It's not about calling people out and body shaming or any of that. Here's the thing, Ren. This show is completely unlike everything else on this. On this radio station,
mm-hmm.
We're nice.
Yeah, you are. You are really. I'm sure I'll call in again.
Please do. Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The wild man of late night radio, Ian Lee.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
On air and off the leash.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, I'm not kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV. Thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building, I might roll a brand new car, 'cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I've taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey! I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey! I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine, 'cause I'm the unknown stuff.
Here we go.
Makes Eastwood look so fine.
0344 499 1000. Here's a question. Callers, will come to you in a second. A lot of calls tonight. Thank you very much indeed. Here's a question. The best of this show goes out on a Saturday night. I think now it's between 10:30 and 1:00. I have been informed by Bumlicks that the last 2 weeks, randomly, during the best of show, a song about Leeds United has popped up.
Oh.
What the hell is going on with that?
Is that subliminal messaging?
Is it the tech op having a laugh? Is it that the show is too short, so they're putting that in? What is going on?
I make each half of each hour.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 27 minutes long.
Okay.
And I add a musical kind of tale to the end of each one. So if it does come up short, if they've not got as many adverts as they usually have or whatever, it fills it.
Okay.
There's no reason for a Leeds United song.
If anyone knows about this, have you heard it? Do they play the whole song? Does it sound like it's been edited in professionally? Does it just come in halfway through a sentence?
Or is it pirates?
Is it pirate FMs doing it? Do you get any pirate radio stations anymore? I remember there used to be one in Finsbury Park. This was about 15 years ago. And I used to, there was a corner
I could pick it up on my car radio, and I would go and park in that corner, and it was real.
Okay, this one's going out to Dotty, and it's nice and
it was that real, that kind of thing. And I would phone them up and do a, I must say, gentlemen, this show is very, very good. Very, very good. And they were pissed themselves laughing, and I go, really, really enjoying the tunes that you're playing tonight. I wonder if you had anything about Glenn Miller.
when I was at Three Counties in the early days, we used to have problems with pirates in Luton. They used to take over our frequency sometimes.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's fun. You don't get, I mean, obviously it wouldn't work here because we're DAB, so it's a different broadcasting system, but I like a bit of the old pirates, and good luck to them.
Well, keeps things spicy, doesn't it?
I could never quite work out what the point was. I think they would promote like shows and stuff, and but the phone number to phone in was just some guy's mobile number. Yeah. And he put you on speakerphone. It seems a little bit crazy. Anyway, that was good. Let's go.
But
to,
it didn't fail as often, it does. It.
Let's go. That's true. Let's go to Nick. Good evening, Nick.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Nick.
Nick, what can we do for you tonight?
Morning. I might have an answer to your question about Leeds United. Simple.
Yeah, go on.
It's because on TalkSport 2, they do the EFL, which is Championship, which is they do each night, they do like a different team. So maybe it just overlaps a bit from that. Leeds United are on there one night a week.
But two Saturdays in a row, they've played a song about Leeds United.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, hey, Fulham's on a Friday.
Right.
Leeds is on a Saturday, you know.
Okay.
Barnes is on a Monday or something. You know what I mean? They talk about the club for an hour or something.
Okay, okay. I wouldn't know, as I refuse to listen to that station. Okay, all right, that's something. What else you got for us, Nick?
Okay, 1950s old film. Don't know what it is called. Black and white.
Yep.
The scene's in a front room. There's a coffin laid out, and there's a dour old accountant sitting there on his sofa. And he's got his mate with him, who's sort of like a Jack the Lad, with this woman on his arm. And he says, oh, you're going to miss your wife for 40 years, all of the home cooking and all the rest. And she says, how was it in your love life? And he said, oh, I love my Betty dearly. We've slept in the same bed for 45 years, and we made love every night. And this Jack the Lad bloke sort of looks at him and thinks, you know, blimey, I think I've done well over the years. But the sort of moral of it is that people that talk about sex a lot are usually the ones that aren't having much. Do you know what I mean? Hello?
Are you? You've just spoken about sex for 10 minutes. Does that mean you're not getting any?
I'm just giving you a... People in glass bottles make the most noise, you know what I mean?
I've not heard that phrase, but I like it.
People in glass bottles are a funny shape, I'd
Yeah,
imagine.
People in glass bottles need to be taken out immediately. Nick, all right, thank you very much for that. I've got absolutely no idea what you're talking about, but I appreciate it. It's only filled 2 minutes of radio. Jessie.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Jessie.
How are you?
I'm all right. What you got for us?
Two things.
Yep.
First thing, the other day you were saying about the marathon, about if you can do the marathon in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's cheating.
I've done the half marathon in my electric wheelchair.
Well, that's cheating. You should be disqualified. I hope you didn't get a medal or a badge or a certificate or anything.
It's not so easy. You have to think about the battery, and if you go up really steep part, your chair totally stops.
Try running it.
I can't walk, so that's impossible.
Well, can you run?
What?
You said you can't walk, but
very funny.
Thank you very much indeed. But hang on a minute. Come on, Jessie, with the greatest of respect, which means I'm about to offer no respect. You can't tell me that doing a half marathon in an electric wheelchair, so what you got to do is push forwards.
It's harder than you think with a wheelchair race.
I think it's not very hard. So if it's harder than that, then yes, it is hard. I've driven an electric wheelchair. My mum's in an electric wheelchair. My boys love to drive their nan when they go over and visit her. Can I drive Nelly Linda? Well, why don't you ask her?
It's hard when you've got the steep part.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well.
Experience.
Kath, can you help me?
It feels like arguing about Formula One.
Another thing, I've been on a different level to you lot tonight.
Yes.
Because I feel like I've gone physically backwards.
Oh.
Because I'm a disability.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel I can be open with you two. Like, I feel like I'm trapped. So I have to wear adult nappies all the time. That's hard.
Yeah.
And being washed by every Tom, Dick and Harry. Downstairs and upstairs, do you know what I mean?
But yeah.
Like it or not.
I know what you mean. That is hard. You're absolutely right. My mum is in a very similar situation to you. She wears nappies and she can't do anything for herself. And
that's really hard.
It's interesting. It's something we don't really talk about.
Granted. Yeah.
No, we don't talk about it. And it can happen, you know, it can happen because of old age or it can happen because of illness. And it's not something that we want to talk about.
No, but.
Well, I'm glad you felt.
Does help to offload.
Yeah, well.
Be a bit of awareness, yeah.
I'm glad you feel, Jesse, that you can share that stuff with us. That makes me feel good that you feel comfortable being able to talk about stuff like that.
It is hard, it is. Not being able to. Well, I can move in my chair, but not being able to physically move without being hoisted, it's hard, yeah.
Yeah. I still think you're a marathon cheat. I hope you don't take offence at that.
What?
Still what?
It's a wheelchair race. I did get a medal, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You should send it back straight away. I'm teasing you. You're a very, very good sport, Jesse, and I appreciate you letting me have a little poke every now and then. Don't mean it like that, Catherine. God.
And you two are lovely. You two are very special.
Could I ask you a question, Jesse? Who is the loveliest out of me and Catherine? And just make sure you get the right answer here, please.
Both of you.
Oh, it's incorrect, I'm afraid.
It's incorrect answer. You have to pick one.
God.
Jesse.
Both 100%.
Okay, but if you had to pick one.
Oh, God.
Who's been the one trying to stitch you up about that wheelchair, which I think was a very, very difficult thing to do, and you thoroughly deserve your medal.
She just presses forward on a stick. Who is the loveliest out of lovely me and Stinky Kath?
Both of you. The same.
Jesse, you're a coward, but I love you.
By the way.
When
are we going to get. You know, if you were the first 100, which I am, have you got an idea when you'll be sending out?
Not yet. Here's the thing. We've got the A side. We're going to record the B side tomorrow in my home, in Abbey Road Recording Studios. It's in my living room with a microphone set up. We're recording the B side and we are going to put the order in for the records tomorrow. So as soon as we get them, we're going to send them out.
I can't wait to get the membership card. So I'm going to carry it around with me so I feel close to you all the time.
There you go. And I just want to put out the guarantee again. There will be absolutely no auto-tune on this record. The singing is au natural. You may wish there was auto-tune on it after you hear it, but there is no auto-tune singing on it. Jesse, always nice to talk to you. Thank you very much. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
After hours amusement for anarchists, air hostesses and jet-lagged antipodeans.
Good night, Cobbers. Can I crash on your floor?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I thought that was going to be our version of it.
I mean, it's very similar.
I thought that was going to be our version of it. Why did, where did that go? Hang on a second. Let me just find it. That's the single. That's the A side is,
Oh, don't play it to me.
Oh, do you know what? I've sent, well, you've not listened to it.
No, I can't.
I've sent you the Carpenters version.
Oh, I wish I'd listened to it.
Well, hang on a minute. How is that? Wait, Mr. Postman. Oh, I've said, why did I send you the Carpenters version? All right, I haven't got it on this computer. You dodged a bullet. You dodged a bullet. Tomorrow we'll play a little bit of it.
No.
Yes, you got... you're like the most plastic pop star, not even wanting to listen to you. You don't even want to listen to your product, girl. You gotta listen to it. You gotta be a big, big star. You gotta trust me on this one. I'm gonna make you $1 million, baby. I'm gonna make you $1 million, baby. You're gonna be the biggest star in the world, but you gotta listen to your single once, baby. Baby, you gotta listen to your single once, baby. Good evening, Giselle.
Hello.
Hello, Giselle. What you got for us?
What if I don't have a nickname for my part?
Well, welcome to the place that will choose one for you.
We'll pick you one. Okay, let's have a little think.
Describe it. No. Too much. I've been told that's too much. We can come up with a nickname for you.
Well, it's not as if, you know, like, if I was to get a hunt wedgie, I don't just go, excuse me while I go and disembark my underwear from my vagina.
No.
You know, so...
A Jonah.
Oh, what about a Yoni? That's the old Sanskrit word, isn't it?
What about a Greta, as in Greta Thunberg?
Oh, no,
very
come
trendy
on.
At
no,
the moment.
Leave Greta alone.
Okay.
Is what you would say.
Okay. How about a Wawa?
How do you feel about that?
Sounds like a Pokemon.
A Pokemon.
How about a Meryl Streep?
A Meryl.
It's not old enough yet.
Okay.
How about... Oh, I think we could call it a Thomas Cook. As a tribute.
Oh.
As a tribute. It's
what he would have wanted.
It's a sad story, but we call it a Thomas Cook.
Does that mean it's going into administration? Because my partner won't be happy about that.
There's many jokes I can make, which I probably won't. Yeah. You could call it a Fat Joe.
No.
A Cousin Greg. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah, there's something in that. What was the last film you watched?
She's talking to you, Giselle. Toy Story 4.
Oh, you can't call it your Woody. Buzz!
Infinity and Beyond?
How about Forky?
There we go. Sorted.
Beautiful. Happy to help.
It really is that simple. We're happy to name your genitals.
Sometimes they know the answer themselves. It just takes us to coax it out.
Here we go. This is... I'm not going to... Harrison, thank you. He sent a bootleg... He has sent us a bootleg illegal recording of us performing Stop Mr. Postman live at Bath. But no. I will not play that out because I have remixed it. It took me 20 minutes to remix it, and so I will not be playing your bootlegs. I will only be playing tomorrow an exclusive piece from our brand new single. So they showed Tag, the World Tag Championships on Channel 4. Mm-hmm. Thoroughly wrecked. Did you see it, Sam? Wasn't it amazing? Did you watch the whole thing?
I didn't see all of it, but I saw enough to get the concept.
Did you see the semi-final where at the end of every... So what it is, it's like this small sort of playing area with climbing frames all over and stuff. It's basically parkour. And one person would start at one end. It was mano a mano, man versus man. And one would start at the other. And the person who was being tagged had to survive for 20 seconds. If they survived for 20 seconds, they got a point, right? And at the end of every match... Everybody was laughing and high-fiving. The people, they would hug each other and go, good game, I really enjoyed that, well done. But apart from one dude, a French dude in the semi-final.
Oh, Kel Supreme.
Who got, please, was anybody speaking Italian? We're talking about a French dude, and we're on an English radio station. And he got caught in the semi-final in 4 seconds, and he stormed off. He smashed the wall, and he stormed off and wouldn't talk. Did you watch the beginning or the end, Sam? Where did you tune in?
Right at the end.
Right, so we saw the...
But then the problem is, after that, I then went down a rabbit hole of finding very weird sports. And there's another one I found that I ended up watching for hours. I can't remember the official name of it. Combat juggling. So everyone's got three batons that they're juggling, but the idea is you've got to try and bat away other people's and get them to stop juggling.
I'm all for that. I hate juggling.
This is incredible. The one I saw the other day was on Eurosport. I was National Geographic for something. They wanted to take a picture of me topless for the cover of the magazine.
It may not have been National Geographic, actually. I think it was. And the one I saw was in the reception, big screen, and it was this people climbing up a wall really quickly. Two people would race each other to climb up a wall, and the first person to get to the top and hit the buzzer won. It was amazing. It was amazing. Competitive juggling. Hang on a second. Let's see. It's a competitive juggling. It's there. Amazing competitive juggling battle. Incredible juggling skills. All right, well, let's have a little piece of this pie. I don't want an advert for Fiverr. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Give it up for Luke Ferrell!
Round of eight, 5 points win. So they've got those horrible juggling, what do they call it? Batons. What do they call the things? Skittles.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it?
Clubs.
Clubs, thank you. I agree with everything I said, like a sycophant.
Who? Me?
Yeah. So they're juggling three Skittles. Three, what did you say they were?
Clubs.
Clubs, thank you. And they're sort of walking around the stage, and they're trying to... One of them is trying to... Yes, it... He knocked him down. Luke.
Thank you.
Luke needed
to get one. We have some great defense happening here. Some really lovely.
And then one of them goes to try and swipe it, and the other one tosses it higher so he can't get it. Are you allowed to kick? Oh, he just nudged him. This is amazing. If there's any other sports that I might like, let me know.
There's extreme ironing, isn't there?
Where's we use iron when you're like jumping out of an aeroplane?
No, on top of a mountain and that.
Oh, I think there is when you jump out of an aeroplane
really?
And stuff. Yeah, but yeah, those shirts aren't going to be wearable.
Certainly not.
Oh man.
What?
Let's go to Mo.
Hi. Why did you huff and puff?
Because your calls are shit.
Tedious.
Hello, why did you huff and puff?
I just answered your question, because you don't listen.
Okay, I do listen, anyway.
Well, then what was the first answer I gave you to that question?
You said, I just said, because you don't listen.
No, that was the second answer I gave.
Well, I was on speakerphone, sorry. Anyway, I'm on... Hello?
Yes. What can we do for you, Moses?
Well, TalkSport is on. I was reckoning if you want to jam the line.
I'm not going to phone up TalkSport, mate. What else do you want?
Because that's what you always do. You're really good.
I did it once 3.5 years ago. I'm not phoning up TalkSport, Mo. Is there anything else we can do for you?
Can you just call it?
Thanks very much for your call. I mean, geez, every night, can you phone up TalkSport? No. I did it once 3 years ago.
My mate fancies you. You ring him up. You ring them up.
You're right, Harrison, you're right. Everyone is welcome to come and film our shows, but I'm just, you wait. When you hear the audio quality of the single, little touch of voila. I've done a little Phil Spector wall of sound, a little George Martin lushness, little Brian Wilson peculiarity. Basically, I've just mixed it a bit so you can hear us singing. And I bleeped out two swears.
Good.
So they'll get played on the
Who
radio.
Did the swearing, me?
I can't remember who swore. I can't remember who swore out of me and you. It's not really important, actually.
Was it you?
It's not really important.
It was totally you, wasn't it?
It's not really important. Why have I written ice? Oh, yeah. Right. You know, in the olden days.
Yes.
And before freezers were invented.
Yeah.
How did they make ice?
That's a very good question.
It's a great question. There's a scientific answer to it.
They waited for the winter?
No. All right, how would they make salt in the Amazonian jungle? Which they did.
Did they find a salt plain?
Have you never seen... Why do you say salt plain?
Like salinas, they call it, don't they?
What does that mean?
Salt plain.
I'm talking about ice.
You said salt in the Amazonian jungle.
Oh, okay, forget that. Well, I've given you the answer. How did they make ice in the Amazonian rainforest?
Oh, I don't know whether they did.
They did. Have you never seen Carrickfergus? Not Carrickfergus. What's the Warner Herzog movie where a guy has to
get a boat over a mountain.
No.
It's a great film. Have you never seen it?
No.
Oh, it's a great film. And the film that is even better than the one where a guy tries to get a boat over a mountain is the documentary about the making of the film where they try and get a boat over a mountain. It's insane. It's Fitzcarraldo. Fitzcarraldo. I can't remember if that's the documentary or the film. So they try and get, it's a film about a guy getting a big paddle steamer over a mountain, right, to the other side, right? And it, everyone goes insane. But then in the documentary, they actually transported a boat over the top of a mountain. But in the beginning of the film, the German actor, Niki Lauda, I can't remember his name, he is making ice in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
The same as in Paul Theroux's Mosquito Coast. The guy there is an inventor. He goes to the Amazonian jungle and he makes ice for the natives. He says, "What the? Have you read the Mosquito Coast?"
No.
It's a great book. It's a great book. Guy ships his whole family over to the Amazonian jungle. He says, "Because what the natives need is ice. I will take them ice." He goes mad. I will show them how to make ice. How did they make it? With salt, right? There is a process whereby, I think it's like churning. If you churn water with salt, it will make ice, right?
But,
go on.
But salt melts ice.
Right. I have no idea how this works, but the science must be true because it's in two, it's in a book and a film. So
right.
It must be true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it must be true. It's not like science fiction. It's not like, you know, there was the boring film about the man who's asleep, Blade Runner. It's not Blade Runner. You know, imagine a science fiction film, right? But everything is real apart from the fact you can make ice out of salt. That's the only bit of science fiction in there. It's true, right? What I'm asking is, could someone please phone me up and tell me how you make ice out of salt? I once, and I'll do it on this show. I once did a whole 3-hour show where I sat there, did this for the whole show.
Well, that's kind of second nature to you, isn't it?
I've got water everywhere, look. Did this.
Butter.
For a whole show, to make butter.
And did it work?
Made the tiniest, tiniest little bit of butter, because it's not milk that makes butter, it's the cream at the top of the milk. So I made literally 3 hours doing that to get the tiniest little bit of butter. But if there is a process that involves mixing salt with water, I will sit there for 3 hours doing that to make it. But I need someone to back me up on the science here.
Any scientists listening?
If there are any scientists, there was an advert in the Sun today, so there's a very, very strong chance that there will actually be scientists listening.
May not be their field, though. They're usually like rocket scientists, aren't they?
We've got a phone call. Danny?
Hola.
Do you know how to make ice out of salt?
Yes.
Do you?
The sodium in the salt reacts with aluminium and then causes a chemical reaction that makes it very cold.
Right.
I think.
Here we go. We're getting somewhere. So do I just shake salt in water and it will turn to ice?
No, you have to, and there's something in the salt reacts with an aluminium container.
Right, so, okay, we're getting somewhere. So I have to put water and salt into an aluminium container.
I think you put the salt one side and water the other side.
So they don't touch?
No. Cat was right.
I like the way he goes, no, of course they don't touch, you idiot. We're getting there. We are getting there. But you have to move it. You have to stir it, don't you? You have to, because in in Fitzcarraldo, which is a great film, advert in the Sun, and we're talking about Fitzcarraldo at 25 to 1. I'm living the dream here. Talk about niche. they're turning like a big, it's like a churn, a big wooden churn.
Yeah.
You're not giving me much to work with here, Dan. You know the secret. Tell me the secret.
Well, I just saw it when someone was explaining it on the How Do They Do It or some program like that. They were showing the ice cream makers and they put it in like that. And then you put the salt on the outside and you put the cream on the inside and then you turn it and then some kind of reaction. I didn't listen to it all, so I don't know what happened. It might well blow up.
you're a hard man. You're a hard man to work with, Danny. You've got the knowledge and you won't share it. You want to keep all of the, this is it, you see. So there's a bit of knowledge. Knowledge is power. Power is control. Control is money, right? And money is a boner for Danny. People like Danny. Very selfish. I would have, if I had the knowledge, I would share it with everybody mm-hmm. on this show. Well, Danny, be quiet. hairy piece of trash. Danny has the knowledge and he wants to keep it. He wants the ice. Yeah, he wants the ice. Kath, he'll give you the ice for a dollar. Give you the ice for a dollar. I would give you the knowledge on how to make the ice. But people are lazy and are thick, right? This is what Danny is banking on. People are lazy and thick. I wouldn't sell them ice. I'd tell them how to make ice. But people couldn't be bothered to make their own ice. They'll pay this guy, Daddy Warbucks over here. He becomes a millionaire, and I look at, and everyone gets poor and dies.
Yeah, he's the ice king.
He's some king.
Oh.
Danny, before we fall out too much, what else have you called in about?
Well, over the ice thing, we could go umbre over it if you want.
Mm. Hat over hat.
Indeed.
That'd be somebody else.
Words for the ladies' special department.
Yep.
Oh, special department.
Department-S. What?
Minge is my favourite.
Thank you very much,
Minge,
Danny.
Come on.
Thank you very much. Thank you. What a terrible call. What a terrible, terrible call on every level. He wants to sell poor people ice, and then he wants to come on this show and say the word Minge.
He's not a friend of the Fanny, is he?
The thing is, he's a member. He's got a membership card. Can we recall? I told you when we sent out the first batch of membership cards, this is what we'll do with the platinum grey ones. Told you for just an extra £50 a card, put a little microchip in. I go on my computer, I type in a code and it self-destructs. And you said, no, we can't do that. It's too expensive and we can't send explosives to listeners.
No.
Well, now I tell you, you were wrong.
Turns out.
You were wrong.
Yeah.
Will you listen to me? You were wrong. So, you liked that, didn't you?
I
liked
it's it. Such a novelty.
Okay. So we've worked. So someone's going to phone in and tell me how I can make ice out of salt.
Yeah, for sure.
Ah. The older I get, the more I think Mary Whitehouse was right. You don't know Mary Whitehouse, Sam. You're too young. When we were younger,
she would despair of you.
She was a proper old lady with, I imagine, I don't know if she had these, but I imagine the sort of horn-rimmed glasses, big sort of white bouffant. She was a very devout Christian lady. And she was a bit of a national joke because she would always complain about the amount of sex and swearing and violence on television. And would write letters and was a bit of a celebrity for her. And we all laughed at her. She had a small group of loyal followers.
Yeah, people treated her like, you know, the archetypical noisy, nosy neighbour. You know, curtain twitching, horrified by everything. But actually, when you listen to what she was concerned about.
Well, here's the thing.
She's kind of right.
I watched a programme tonight that made me think. She is right. We joke about Naked and Afraid. We love two naked people in the woods. Naked Attraction, I watch, but I struggle with it. And it's partly the judging of genitals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the show is about. You're looking at fannies and dicks.
Yeah, because actually, in real life, normally, generally, you don't get to see someone's private parts until you've at least bought them a drink.
And then we watch this thing tonight. That started off as a laugh, then quite early into it, me and Kath both went, this is wrong.
It's out of order.
This is wrong. Yeah, Harrison, I didn't get your email now. This is wrong. This is actually called Baywatch.
Yeah, B-A-E as in.
Baywatch. B-A-E as in.
Apparently bay means before anyone else. I thought it was like babe.
I thought it was babe.
We couldn't be bothered to say.
What does boo mean then? Bugger out of my orifice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We've got that. So go on, tell them what Baywatch is.
Baywatch is a young couple. In this case, it was a young couple who had been talking to each other on the internet mostly. They'd met twice in real life before. And then they were sent on this holiday by Channel 4. And they obviously were told.
To a nice villa.
Yeah, they were obviously told that they were going to be filmed and it was about their relationship. What they didn't know was they also flew her nan and her sister out and they were surveilling them.
They were in the villa next door. There was a two-way mirror.
Yeah, they went through their bags.
Found a dildo.
some tape,
nipple clamps,
and rope.
And they were working through a two-way mirror, but they were also watching on monitors.
Yeah.
And then they were also
feeding the production team questions to ask, because they were trying. The premise was that they were trying to work out whether he was good enough for their loved one.
But then and that was bad. I thought, well, that's terrible. But then they sent over his best friend, who obviously fancied him rotten. And she then went, so the girl that he was going with went to get a massage, and they sort of put something over her eyes so that she could go and get a head massage. And then his best friend, without him or her knowing, came out and head massaged the girl.
And questioned her
about it. It was raw. Have you seen this program, dear listener?
It was really intrusive.
It felt abusive. Because, and then they humiliated the lad. Yeah. She seemed to buy into it, the girl. She was a bit pissed. But they come out at the end and they go, oh my God, it's my nan and my sister. And he goes, oh my God, it's my best friend. And they go, yeah, we've been watching you the last few days.
We've been through your bags.
We've seen everything. And then they go back and they watch a video of everything that they found out. And this poor lad.
The nan and sister stopped short of watching them in bed together, because when it started to get fruity, she went, right, I'm not watching this. But they could have.
Yeah. And
and the couple were left wondering, I dare say.
He was just looked humiliated.
Yeah, well, bear in mind, he didn't really know this girl very well at all. And all of a sudden, I mean, he will have known that her family would have watched it on television after the fact. Didn't realise they were there and actually actively spying on them.
It was horrible. I don't ever want to see that again.
Well, you say it was a second offence, but they carried on seeing each other afterwards, apparently.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again. I think it's awful. Is that me being old? I think it is me being old because 30 years ago, I'm sure there was stuff that I would have liked watching that my parents, certainly my grandparents, would have gone, well, this is too much. This is not... Right, so I get that it's probably generational, and to a 20-year-old, everyone's going, ah, shut up, man, it's a laugh, it's a funny series, it's fun.
Is it different that it's the Instagram generation where they share a lot more publicly anyway?
Oh,
maybe, but you and I both know the sort of holidays we went on with partners when we're in our 20s, and I wouldn't want my mum seeing that.
No, but I think it is an age thing. We're over 40.
Some things are private.
It's a show for 18, 19, 20-year-olds, probably watched by people younger than that, actually. But it's a show for 20-year-olds. And I'm guessing is except, and we sound like a couple of old farts this right now. Not we got that many young people listening to us, but there will be young people going, oh, come on, man. It's a bit of cheeky fun.
I thought he looked embarrassed. He was mortified.
Went pale.
Also, there was a very telling part when this is all going, you know, always being revealed, and he's sitting next to his female best friend. He had his hand on her knee.
Yeah, that was...
He was sitting closer to her than he was to this girl that he'd been going out with, quote-unquote, and he had his hand on her knee, and I thought, is she not clocked that? Because that'd be the first thing I noticed.
Here we go. We've got some breaking news. Hang on, let me just put this through.
Do you know salt actually plays a very important role in the making of an ice cream? Yes, salt is used in the making of ice cream. This is because salt reduces the freezing point of water, and this allows the ice to attain a temperature lower than 0 degrees Celsius. This allows for more rapid...
Salt reduces the freezing point of water?
Gosh.
Oh. What, so if salt is, if water freezes at zero...
It can stay frozen at a higher temperature.
Well, surely that means salt increases the freezing point of water.
No, because if you reduce...
Salt reduces the freezing point of water. Hang on, if the freezing point of water is zero, you reduce it, that's minus.
Yeah.
So increase it... Well, that means it makes it... Okay.
Colder.
Uniform cooling, and also makes the ice cream more creamier. So basically, salt lowers the freezing point of ice, and if ice is kept in salt water, the ice melts slowly, since the lower temperature of the mixture would mean a lower rate of melting, or more chances of molecules stalling at one place. Let us understand this through an activity. We need salt, 2 glasses of water, and 2 ice cubes.
Right. No, Mark, delete your account. Mark Snowden on Twitter, delete your account, and... you should be banned from Twitter, because that is not what I was talking about. I was not talking about salt reducing the freezing temperature of water. I was talking about making ice from salt.
So, Mark, you are. I would like you to delete your Twitter account, please. That's Mark E. Snowden. If everyone, if he could delete his account, please. Don't everyone message him, because I'll get done for encouraging trolling. But you know what I mean. If he can delete his account, and he's banned from listening to the show ever again. And that's why I never open tweets, because links, because of that. Waste their time. It's talk rather pissed off.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What are you going ooh for? She's shaking her hand, which means it's probably this deformed penis.
Oh, it's to do with penises.
There we go, I knew it.
Bloke needs surgery after getting a glass thermometer stuck inside penis.
You'd say that again?
Bloke needs surgery after getting a glass thermometer stuck inside penis.
Yeah.
Subtitle, he hoped to get sexual pleasure from posting the thermometer inside himself.
Posting? Posting is an unusual phrase.
Mm. It's more like poking.
Yep.
Sounding, the practice of inserting objects into the penis for sexual pleasure, is a surprisingly common kink, according to the Daily Star. I've heard about this. Sounding, it's called.
Sounding.
The practice of inserting objects into the penis for sexual pleasure is a surprisingly common kink.
Just, I don't know if we should say any more about this on air, because I think maybe tomorrow we call up Channel 4 and we say we've got an idea for a show, Celebrity Sounding. We're gonna get Shane Ritchie to shove a biro in the eye of his penis.
Celebrity Sounds.
Celebrity Sounding. Then
sounds famous. Sounding good to me. Sounding. Painful.
We are going to get Eamon Holmes versus Shane Ritchie to see who can get the biggest thing in the hole in their penis. I'd watch it. You get Danny Baker on there. You got a show.
Oh, well, get him to do anything. You got a show. Daily Star says sex toy specialists Love Honey stock over a dozen items designed specifically for that purpose.
I've heard you get like needles and stuff, don't you?
Like bars of different widths, yeah, I've heard of.
Yeah. No, it's not for me.
But one unfortunate sex adventurer didn't have anything like that to hand and decided that a thermometer might do the trick, a glass thermometer.
Well, that's a big old thing, and that could snap as well.
Well, here's the thing. What's the thermometer got in it?
Mercury rising.
The man, a 25-year-old, I mean, if it was one in a cartoon, if once things got hot, it would, like, explode, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The man, a 25-year-old from Shanghai, lost his grip on the thermometer.
Shanghai, very high by the sounds of it. It doesn't make sense.
Whilst he was having his fun, whereupon it slipped completely inside him and made its way up into his bladder. Hoping that sooner or later nature would take his course and the thermometer would pop out when he urinated.
Yeah, that's what nature does. Nature pushes thermometers out of your penis.
He waited 11 days before seeking medical help. Writing in medical journal, Urology Case Reports, Doctor...
Man, I've got that's next year's Christmas present.
Urology Case Reports. Dr. Gangang Yang and his colleagues from Tongren Hospital described how they dealt with the unusual stowaway in much the same way as they might treat a kidney stone. A cystoscope, a long thin tube with a micro camera on the end, was also slipped into the unfortunate bloke's urethra. And doctors used it to assess exactly where the thermometer was. Using a tiny pair of forceps, the medics moved the thermometer around to allow for the most streamlined exit. Gentle action was taken to prevent the thermometer from fracturing and to prevent bladder wall layer injury, the doctors wrote. Extra care had to be taken because ETH thermometers contain mercury, which is highly toxic and can cause serious damage to the kidneys and nervous system. Imagine! The whole procedure took about 15 minutes. The patient was discharged the following day and a follow-up appointment a month after the removal found he'd made a complete recovery.
That's great news.
I wonder whether he suggested he'd slipped onto it like they always do.
Yeah.
While the thermometer might seem like a strange choice for sounding...
It does a little bit. Sounding great, by the way, Catherine.
Thanks.
It's something I would never say to her.
The description of the case in Urology Case Reports notes that the issue is surprisingly common and that a wide variety of objects trapped in the bladder have been reported, including...
You call it sounding, great, with Danny Baker.
A wide variety of objects trapped in the bladder have been reported, including daily objects... And even living things.
Hang on, daily objects?
Like everyday objects, I think they mean. They single out.
Living things? Like ants. Stick insects.
Wait for it.
A spider.
Sticks of broom.
Sticks of broom?
I guess I mean...
Broomsticks.
Yeah, or the twigs off the broom. It's got to be the twigs. Surely, not the broom.
You can't put a broomstick in your penis.
No.
What a shot.
You'd end up with an elephant's trunk. Bomb shrapnel. Screws. Fish.
Well, the fish that swim up your urine in the Amazon.
Thermometers. And even snakes. As always, when it comes to reports of this type, Daily Star Online urges readers not to try this at home. Well, it didn't sound fun, did it?
Or if you do, film it and send it to us, please.
There'll be a nurse listening to this now going, yep, yep, seen it all. Sounding.
Good evening, Vinny.
Hello.
Hello, Vinny.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I'm somebody who's just finished a Masters in International Relations at Middlesex.
And, I went to Middlesex.
You went to Middlesex?
Yeah, I went to Middlesex.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I was at the old Trent Park campus that they sold recently, I think.
Yeah, they sold it in 2012 and then they reconstituted everything back at Hendon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I never liked... Anyway, yes, yes.
But, yeah, I've just finished my Masters in International Relations there.
Yeah.
I'm training to be a multimedia journalist by News Associates. So I start that course in October. But I've helped the Labour Party since way back in time, since 1997. Yeah. And then I was disillusioned for a very long time until Jeremy Corbyn came along. Oh. And in terms of his unwavering position on the second Brexit referendum, I've just written an article which suggests that the way forward could actually be a two-round voting system.
Jesus, you want two votes?
So yeah, it would come down to three main categories or four main categories, dependent: a Tory deal, a No deal, a Labour deal, or revoke Article 50. And then the last round would have the two major votes coming through, yeah, which the two top contenders.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that would kind of solve the way that the fracturous nature since 2016 has been in this country.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
give it a little bit more clarity. But yeah, I've just written this online on medium.com.
Okay. Well, can I ask you a question, Vinny?
Yeah.
If you had to, right, if push came to shove and you had to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
What would you rather stick in your penis? Would it be a thermometer or would it be a broomstick? If you had to pick one.
Well, you'd know the temperature of it, but if it was a thermometer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so you're going to say a thermometer. Brilliant, Vinny. Thanks very much for your call. I appreciate that. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. It's a unique take on the current political situaziano, I think.
Very illustrative.
I think we'll all agree. This is a really horrible story to end. That's right, I don't know.
We've just been talking about someone doing something rather nasty to the end of their penis, so now is the time.
All right, it's a really sad story.
Oh.
Proper sad. I'm going to do it. It's in the Times. An American man has drowned moments after proposing to his girlfriend while underwater at a semi-submerged cabin in Tanzania. This is a horrible story, right? Stephen Webber, 31, had dived below the surface. So they got like an apartment that's on the water level, and then there's a section underneath. The bedroom is underwater and there's windows. Stephen Webber, 31, had dived below the surface to press a note asking Kenesha Antoine to marry him against the couple's bedroom window.
Ooh.
In a video she took of the proposal and later posted online, Ms. Antoine can be heard laughing excitedly as she reads the note and as Mr. Webber opens a box revealing an engagement ring. Mr. Webber did not survive the dive.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? I mean, prompting an online post. Oh, this is heartbreaking. What a sad way to end the show. I just wanted to get this story in. I should have done it earlier. Mr. Webber did not survive the dive, prompting an online post by Miss Antoine. Quotes, you never emerged from those depths, so you never got to hear my answer. Yes, yes, a million times yes, I will marry you, she wrote. We never got to embrace and celebrate the beginning of the rest of our lives together, as the best day of our lives turned into the worst in the cruelest twist of fate imaginable. The couple from Louisiana are on their third day at Manta Resort off Pemba Island near the northern Tanzanian coast, when Mr. Weber attached goggles and flippers and swam several meters down to make his proposal. He pressed the note, protected by plastic, against the water, the underwater bedroom window. It read, "I can't hold my breath long enough to tell you everything I love about you, but everything I love about you, I love more each day." He then flipped the note, which read, "Will you please be my wife, marry me," before opening the ring and swimming out of sight. Isn't that sad? I just read that and I just thought, there's so many dickheads walking around. There's so many dickheads that are alive. And then you read something like, I just thought, what a beautiful response from her. You know, what a dignified response for her. It's that's a sad way to end the show. I don't apologise for it. That's the way it goes sometimes. And I just thought it was a story that I just thought should be said. That's it. We're done. We're back tonight at 10 o'clock. Podcasts are plenty. You know where to go to get the podcast. Sheila, we haven't got time for you.
That's fine.
There we go. That's sorted. That's what I like. That's what I like when someone is like, okay, fine, maybe we'll speak tomorrow. We will be back tonight at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, you can get the Rabbit Hole podcast. You can get the best of this show. Stay tuned. Talk Radio is 24 hours a day. This is Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.